The Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. 100,000 Turkish troops on standby at the country's border with northern Iraq as diplomatic efforts continue in Ankara. Turkish air attacks have been battering Kurdish positions all week long. The Turkish Prime Minister meets with President Bush in Washington, D.C. on the 5th of next month. No decision will be made until after that meeting is held. Iran vows if the country is attacked, the elite Revolutionary Guards would respond with, quote, an even more decisive strike, according to an Iranian news agency. Two NATO soldiers were killed, three others wounded last night when they were ambushed while on foot patrol in eastern Afghanistan. On Capitol Hill, the House has adopted a second children's health insurance bill, but once again failed to garner enough votes to make the legislation veto-proof. That bill now goes to the Senate. Southern California wildfires, which have been burning all week, have consumed 490,000 acres. That is an area about half the size of the state of Rhode Island. So far, 1,800 homes have been destroyed. The majority are in San Diego County. Some of the fires still burning out of control. A change in the weather has been helping firefighters, and crews say they are making progress on those. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Jerusalem today, Olmert promising that Israel will not cause a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. There have been frequent rocket attacks from the region into Israel. Israeli leaders threatened to cut off power to the region for that reason. The FBI and Homeland Security have issued a bulletin warning that terrorists may still try to use shoe bombs for a terrorist attack. Last month, a pair of hollowed-out shoes were found on a European bus. In Chicago, a federal court has denied an appeal by former Illinois Governor George Ryan and his co-defendant, both convicted of fraud and racketeering. The 73-year-old Republican is set to report to prison in November to begin a six-and-a-half-year sentence. And beginning next month, all visitors to Japan over the age of 16 will be fingerprinted and photographed when they arrive in the country, Tokyo saying the new rules will help them aid in fighting terrorism. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news that's just ahead. But first, this message.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The Boston Red Sox won the second game of the World Series last night, 2-1. The Colorado Rockies host the third game, that's Saturday night. Discovery astronauts conducting their first spacewalk today at the International Space Station. Scientists robotically installed a new Italian-made docking port for future space labs. Internet phone provider Vonage will pay as much as $120 million to settle its patent lawsuit with Verizon Wireless. The Senate has approved legislation that extends the ban on state internet taxes. The moratorium extended for another 7 years. The next step is a compromise before the legislation heads to the Oval Office. Shares of Comcast dropping nearly 11% after it posted a 54% plunge in quarterly net profit. Even though Wendy's International posted a 57% drop in quarterly earnings, its results were better than analysts expected. The Ohio-based company reportedly looking for a serious buyer. And the U.S. dollar has slipped to a new low in trading against the euro today, euro trading at $1.43. Light sweet crude oil trading at $91.86 a barrel. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 134 points at 13,806, NASDAQ up 53 points at 2804, S&P 500 up 20 points at 1533. And there's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Turkish! Don't you!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, we've done made it all the way to Friday. Or some portion thereof, or perhaps all the way to Saturday, depending on where you are on this sweet little blue-green time machine, this little marble hurtling through time and space in the universe. Welcome, welcome to you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to join me, join us, join the thousands and thousands of folks who gather around their computer speakers and sometimes around even higher technology devices like little tabletop broadband internet radios that look just like radios. And you can have them all over your house, anywhere you want them, as long as you've got wireless broadband. Those are really cool. There's technology coming that is going to make what we do ubiquitous. And it will be cool to be able to say, hey, we were here first. Now, this being Friday, it is, of course, the front porch. Front Porch Friday. When, if you so wish, so desire, we will put multiple members of the Horn community together on the air and just cuss and discuss and talk about the events of the past week and whatever it is that has the bee under your bonnet, the burr under your saddle. Me, you know, last night I was in Institute, West Virginia, which is just a little bit west of Charleston, the state capital, for the Seneca 2 lecture, and those ladies with Seneca 2 are just wonderful. They always bring great, great guests to their lectures. And, of course, last night was Scott Ritter, and look, the fact of the matter is, I don't go do remotes enough to have it all reduced to a science where it's just like bing, 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 bing. And the fact of the matter is, I was, listen, I mean, I'm making excuses now. It was all very kind of frustrating simply because I followed every blessed log truck and every cussed coal truck in West Virginia, it would seem, all the way to Institute there to the campus of West Virginia State University. So that's, you know, so things were a little dodgy when I got there, and we were a little slow on the front end of the curve, but we got you the biggest part of Scott Ritter's remarks, and what remarks they were, huh? I'm in the process of uploading the video to John Fox so we can get it over to YouTube. And the instant that we do, and the instant that he does, I'm sure that you will, I'm sure that you'll enjoy the video of the event. So on the way home, it was a dark and rainy night, and there's something just, I don't know, maybe it's because of the way I was raised, but there is something comforting about the crackly sound of a baseball game coming through your AM radio going up the road, especially in light of the fact that AM radio is largely polluted by right-wing hate mongers and, you know, the flushes and
Hannity jobs, you know, that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity job, the O'Reillys and the Ingrams and so forth. And when you're late night, like 11:30 p.m. or so, then you run across the chance of catching some of the real low ballers, some of the real bottom of the barrel right wing yackers like Mark Levin. Not our dear beloved Mark Levine, but Mark Levin. This guy's pure poison. And, you know, there's nothing he doesn't hate. I think if he could take little liberal babies out and just eat them raw, he'd probably enjoy it. He's just reprehensible. He's excrescent. Ooh, hauling out the $10 words for Front Porch Friday. So instead, I got to listen to Game 2 of the World Series. Now, Game 1, listen, guys, you know, cut me some slack. It can't all be outrage and pure news and opinion all the time. I do get to relax my tiny mind once in a while and watch a football game or listen to a baseball game. Don't you know they're yes, I know it's corporate. And I know it's not the game that my father fell in love with or his father before him. But at any rate, the first game of the World Series was a big blowout by Boston. What, 13-1? Hey, thanks for showing up, Rockies. And then you turn it around, and last night is a 2-1 nail-biter start to finish. And I'm glad the Red Sox are up 2-0. My money says Colorado will pick up at least a game. It won't be a four-game sweep. Colorado will pick up a game out at Coors Field simply because it's so hard to deal with the time. I read somewhere it takes a full day, maybe, or more, to deal with a one-hour change in time zone. And I can attest to it because whenever I drive from here to, say, my father's home, I'm always a little bit, you know, for a day or so getting used to Central Time, which I love. You know, when God looks at his watch, he's looking at Central Time. That's where sanity is. That's where Monday Night Football ends before midnight, and you don't have to crawl into work feeling like, you know, newly minted death. But I think the time zone change alone, going east to west, will be enough to probably buy the Rockies at least one game. And that's a pity, because I'd like it to be a four-game sweep. Why would I like for it to be a four-game sweep? Well, I'll tell you. I'd like for it to be a four-game sweep because, A, the owners don't make any money on the World Series until Game 5, if that rule is still in effect. That's what my dad always told me. That's why Marge shot, 1990, when the Reds won their last World Series, and that goofy old Nazi gas bag still owned them. That's why she was so pissed off about winning in 4. And I was always raised to be a National League guy. I was raised on the Reds, the Pirates, the Cubs. Growing up in Alabama, you had two stations, basically, that would reach you with baseball on the AM band, and that was KMOX in St. Louis and whoever was carrying the Braves as a local affiliate, usually WVNA in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the little town with scum in the middle, Tuscumbia. And so, you know, I grew up a National League guy. Then the designated hitter came along, and my father regarded it as a level of heresy approaching that of, well, pick your heresy. And I still don't like the designated hitter, and I still don't like for baseball to be played on somebody's indoor-outdoor carpet either. Grass, damn it. So I was raised to always root, you know, oh, God, I remember, I was a Reds fan, because my dad was a Reds fan. And I remember how bitter I was in 1971 as an 8-year-old kid. How bitter I was when the Pirates beat the Reds in the LCS and went on to play the Orioles and beat them in the World Series. And the lecture Dad gave me about, you know, you got to root for your league now. Got to root for the Pirates, even though you hate them. For beating the Reds, you got to root for the Pirates. And I did. Although it sort of hung like a bone in my throat. So, rooting for the American League does not come naturally to me, and I always feel a little bit kind of, you know, when it comes down to it. But it's been getting easier lately. It was easy to root for Boston as they played St. Louis a couple of years back and managed to get the, you know, the so-called break the curse. And this particular World Series, the 2007 World Series, I can't tell you how easy it is to root for the Red Sox. And yes, Manny Ramirez is a slacker. Why did it become so easy to root for the Red Sox in this World Series? Well, I direct you to the words of John Ponder over at the Pensito Review. Pensito? Pensito? Doggone it, you know, if there's any question as to how to pronounce the name of your blog, give me a pronouncer, please. You know, Pensito, Pensito. But he writes, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I will be rooting against the Rockies in the World Series this year. Oh, Lordy, this is just disturbing. In a remarkable article from USA Today, June 2nd, 2006, the Colorado Rockies went public. And I don't, how is this not something that we've been sort of all over? I mean, God knows I can't bring myself to ever root for the Colts again because it turns out that they're a bunch of right-wing fundamentalist phony Christian nut jobs. Sorry, Indiana listeners. It just is what it is. The Colorado Rockies went public with the news that the organization has been explicitly looking for players with, quote, character. And according to the Tribe of Coors, character means accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Rockies general manager Dan O'Dowd said, we're nervous, to be honest with you. It's the first time we ever talked about these issues publicly. The last thing we want is to offend anyone because of our beliefs. Oh, yeah. This is just disgusting. Kelly McGregor, who's the president of the Rockies, said, we truly do have something going on here, and God's using us in a powerful way. Kelly, God couldn't get you two runs last night. When God can't come up with two runs, I don't know. Maybe it's time to rethink the commitment. And when God lets you get waxed 13-1, well, you know, Bob, I mean, take a break. God moves in mysterious ways. Maybe he let them get shellacked and then squeakered so that they could come back and show the glory and majesty of Almighty God at Coors Field. Coors? God? Same breath? Nah, not for me, thanks. A former player for the Rockies said that team officials inspect the lockers to ensure players aren't hiding any of them dirty Playboy magazines or other immoral contraband on the premises. Meanwhile, the taxpayers of the state of Colorado, as Mr. Ponder notes in the article, ponied up $161 million to build Coors Field. There's your faith-based initiative. $161 million to subsidize a bunch of phony religious fundamentalist nutcases. Only in America. Now, batting number three, playing shortstop, Jesus H. Christ. I've heard of God as my co-pilot, but, you know, God's my closer in the bullpen? No, it's not like, because it, what's so offensive about this is that there is an assumption being made by the Rockies that they're somehow better than everyone else because they're religious fundamentalists. And, of course, why am I surprised that this happens with the Rockies? How far is it from Coors Field to Colorado Springs and the home of the right-wing hate machine that is Focus on the Family with the good Dr. James Dobson, who couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without damn near killing him? You get my meaning? So, yeah, go Sox. And for me, and I'm sure this will put off our New York listeners, I wouldn't have a problem rooting for the Yankees under these circumstances. And I don't root for the Yankees in almost any circumstances. Less than 30 miles from Coors Field to the headquarters of Focus on the Family. So it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I don't know. The national focus for liberals and progressives is, you know, I don't know how liberals and progressives can stand to live in Alabama or Mississippi. Or sometimes they say Texas, except for, you know, that separate little country that is Austin. I don't know how progressives... You know what? I don't know how progressives and liberals live in this country. Myself included. It is indeed hard. After some of the stuff we talked about Wednesday evening, we know that we get our heart, you know, we expect to see evil come tiptoeing, strutting in out of the Republican Party on, you know, big old platform hooker shoes. But then we see it come to us from the Democratic Party as well, and it gets kind of heartbreaking. And Agnes and I were chatting a little bit earlier today, and she just casually said, you know, a lot of people are feeling very, very betrayed by the Democratic Party right now. And, of course, she was, as she almost always is, right. I feel that way. I know that callers to this program and emailers to this program feel that way. We yearn for something approaching liberal, decent, upright, moral human values. And instead, we get Pete Stark having to stand in the well of the House of Representatives with delicate female handprints around his throat and apologizing for telling the truth about George Bush and his filthy, filthy, filthy misbegotten war. And he has to get on his knees and apologize for that truth. For me, that's part of why we do what we do here. So that when that stuff comes along and you just want to put your head in your hands and weep or, reach for the Thorazine dart gun and shoot yourself in the leg, or, crawl inside a bottle of Beefeater and never come out, or smoke a fatty so big and so strong that, Jim Stafford used to say, next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. But we don't have to do that. We can support and encourage and give comfort and solace and to each other. So, a further thing that makes it worthwhile to crawl in behind the microphone for 3 hours every night. And there's plenty of stuff to pick up on this week. Things that we didn't get to, things that I didn't notice, things that you noticed but I didn't. And that's what we'll do. Ralphs, I don't know if all the Rockies are required to be Republicans, but it's clear that they are required to be born again. And I think you get your Republican registration at the same time they give you your born-again membership card. At least they do in most Southern Baptist churches. So I'm rooting for a four-game sweep. I'd love to see the Coors family not make a blessed nickel off the World Series, the only one they've ever been in. And it wouldn't break my heart to see the ownership of the Red Sox not get any out of it either. Because up until Game 4, it's all about the players. Of course, I guess that, I don't know, maybe the Rockies players, since they're all born again and everything, they'll insist that they not be given any of those new dollar coins. You heard about that, right? I was down to the local Dairy Queen, and there was a thing printed up, obviously, from someone's printer, and they'd gotten it off the internet, apparently the incredibly insane part of the internet, saying, if you're at the bank and you receive the new dollar coin that the government is trying to get people to use, give it back. Demand dollar bills. Really? Because there's something missing from this new dollar coin. A friend of mine was at the bank and she got some of these in change and she handed them back to the teller and said, you give me real money. And the teller looked at her and said, bless you, sister. Because the new dollar coin is the American atheist dollar coin. It don't say in God we trust on it nowhere. So don't you accept any of that heathen money. What do you want to bet they accept the heathen money in the collection plate at church? Oh, yeah, this was this whole internet conspiracy, loopy sort of kind of crazy stuff that you see coming out of the right wing. Things like Rudy Giuliani defending the rights of the blind to own guns. I'm not gooning on the blind. I'm gooning on Rudy Giuliani. I know a couple of blind guys, and they say they don't need guns are not right for them. But he really did that. In New Hampshire, he told a visually challenged person that, I stand by your right to own guns. It's guaranteed to you by the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Woo! So the right-wingers are having a fit about the dollar coin. And, here's the funny part. It still says, in God we trust on it. Just not where they're used to seeing it. Of course, the right wing would like to have a coin that just says, "In God we trust," on both sides. Because, you know, they worship those words. They're idolaters. That's what they are. So that's the beginning of the night. No baseball tonight. My beloved Mountaineers tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern? Or, no, it's a nooner. On, I think, ABC. The Mountaineers and Rutgers. Now that tells you something. I remember when playing Rutgers was the game we got off. You know, they'd look down at their chest, see that it said Rutgers on it, and just go away. But no more. I love the parody that's developed in college football. A function of cutting down on walk-ons, a function of cutting down on scholarships, and a function of teams really wanting to be more than they are or have been. Greg Schiano at Rutgers has done amazing stuff. And, you know, it only makes sense that you'd have a good team at Rutgers eventually because of all the talent in the state of New Jersey. It just is. And there's no reason for those kids to go off, to Penn State or to the Syracuse or BC or any. No, stay home. Stay in Jersey. So, you know, noon, I'll be sitting here with, you know, all, you know, nervous, waiting to see which Mountaineers show up. If it's the, don't want any more of this Mountaineers who played South Florida, or if it's the guys who scored 28 points in under 15 minutes against Mississippi State last week. All right, let's see what's happening on the telephone. There went the pen. Okay, what do you want to bet this first one's a busy signal? See? Okay, guys, let me explain this to you. Just dial one number. If it's blinking, I'll answer it. And then we will go to this number. And that was a quitter, too. Ugh. Frustrating. Frustrating. Email coming in from our good friend Marty. Marty says, "Would you like to know that I'm a San Francisco Giants fan? But I am happy to cheer the Red Sox, despite Rudy's endorsement, on the victory over Theocracy's team." Yeah, he says it's not the game I fell in love with either. No, not at all. So I guess I'll take a break. I've done this for 30 minutes now. You guys seem to be very, very quiet this evening. Okay, no break. Hi, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. How's Donald?
Doing okay. They're keeping him in the hospital till Monday.
Mainly just to let stuff heal?
What?
Mainly just to let stuff heal, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, the fact he doesn't, that way he doesn't have to go romping back and forth across, you know, back between here and the hospital for checkups, which makes it a horrendous drive.
Oh, I can and the, you know, the gas ain't cheap.
Not at $3.91 a gallon, no.
How much?
$3.91. And that's at a cut rate, that's at, for here where I get, 10 cents a gallon off because I have a store card.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, holy mackerel was right.
I mean, and I was cussing because it was $2.89 when I, put gas in the truckster to go to Charleston yesterday. I will count myself henceforward blessed.
Yes, you should. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about a little story about what happened when I was sitting there in the waiting room.
At the hospital, yes, okay.
Right. Now, the VA being the VA, they had a TV. Of course, it's a hospital. They always have a TV in the waiting room. But it being the VA, you know what it was turned to.
Mm-hmm.
Box.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, gritting my teeth as much as I can, trying to be brave. Not so much because of Donald, but because I'm about ready to blow a gasket and put something through the picture tube of the television set.
Yeah, I forget who it was that sent us the link to the little surreptitious channel changer, the universal channel changer you can take with you to get rid of Fox, but there's one of those out there.
Ooh, cool.
Goes on a keychain, and you just kind of boop, and it's gone.
Oh, if you ever find it, let me know. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and the 700 Club comes up.
On Fox?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Barf.
Yeah.
Anyway.
With the little chewy pieces, barf, yeah.
Right. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and after a minute or so, I am just about ready to blow gas, because here's Pat Robertson talking about the news of the day, and he's talking about Senator Clinton and Senator Obama campaigning in, it was either North or South Carolina. And they were going after the black vote in the churches.
Oh, he doesn't like that one little bit, does he?
No. Did a little bit of editorializing. And he was whining about how come the IRS hasn't moved in and pulled the tax-free status of these churches. And I'm sitting there saying, does the name John Kerry ring a bell, you expletive deleted
Well, but see, but because they're holier and they're sanctified, they get to politic from the pulpit, but they hate it when us Democrats do.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sitting there just going, woo! And then I got the all-time, I really hope Peter's listening to this, because this will just... This is the cherry of all cherries for the whole day. There was something to top even that off. They had an interview segment with a man and his ex-wife. The woman, it appeared, had left her husband for another woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the woman came out right out and said she was lured away by this homosexual.
What?
Honest to crap, she did?
But say it again. You faded away on me there.
She said she was lured away from God by this homosexual.
Oh. God. Lured, you know, like on the end of a fishing line, like those little wiggly rubber worms that you catch a, you know.
She was 5 years old, and this was some pedophile who was.
Yeah, follow the candy, follow the candy.
Right. And she was what? Basically, she started in on the ex-gay line.
Ah, so she was ex-gay.
Well, now she is. After 6 years of relationship with this other woman, and they broke up, and then suddenly God made this woman ex-gay. Now, you know how this is going to end. But in the meantime, this woman has written a book with her ex-husband all about the evil homosexual who has lured this poor, innocent woman astray.
I wonder if that was spinner bait, that lure.
I don't know.
Sorry.
But,
can't get away from
I'm
the fishing reference.
Yeah, I know. I'm just sitting there going,
Well, let's see if let's make it front porchy. Let's see who we got on line two here. Hey, who's there?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke. Welcome to the front porch.
What's going on in the world? Anything good?
Oh, you know, I've just been talking a little baseball mainly, and bless her heart.
Well, I've been talking about the homosexual agenda and the 700 Club.
Oh, well, now the one I want to talk about is actually the mainstream media is actually talking about this. Is who needs press conferences? FEMA will have their own.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you know, we threw a press conference and no one showed up, so we put our own people out there.
I heard about that.
It's like FEMA had a chance to actually improve their public image, and of course FEMA sat there and went, "How many of our toes can we blow off at once?"
Ready, aim, fire.
Yeah, you know, it's like circular firing squad time, guys.
Oh, and there's one more way they blew off their foot. This morning I get up, boot up my computer, pull up the news, and here is a thing on the AP. Bush is saying that it's a waste of time for the Congress to reconsider health care for children. And that's an exact quote, a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, I got it. It's right here in the stack, Susan.
You know, I'm just waiting for our right-winger to come back to town, and I want to wait till he's interviewed on one of the local calls. I'm going to call and go, "Why do you hate children?" You know.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It's like, you give them $194 billion to go kill people, but $35 billion to help save kids. Well, we can't do that.
Oh, you'll hear that little snapping sound like his head's a gerbil popping in a microwave.
Oh,
not just children, because there was a big provision for getting health care for returning vets.
Well, and the thing of it was, and the thing is, this new one they ran through yesterday or the day before, all these complaints that the right wingers had had, apparently in this one, they addressed not 100%, but you know what I mean. They worked on them, so all of a sudden the right wingers can't come up and claim the same problems because they worked on it. You know, they fixed it so it couldn't be illegals couldn't get it, and you know, they fixed it so, you know, all these complaints they had, they actually went on it. So it's gonna be interesting to see what the new line is. But my other thing I sent you, did you get the email, Bob, the one about Rudy, about who the person now calling Rudy a liar is Rudy.
Yeah, I know.
About the
he's gonna be pretty soon. He'll be able to have debates with himself.
Well, the 9/11 testimony that apparently got released and has been the Village Voice, where every time they asked questions to Rudy about terrorism, he was like, "I don't know, you have to talk to such and such. I don't know, you have to talk to such and such." And then Rudy's out in the campaign cell saying he's the best prepared and best qualified. And I still say the fun part next year is just waiting to see when they get around to indicting good old Bernie. You got to wonder if Bernie's going to drop the dime on somebody named Rudy.
God, it sure would be fun. It would be nice if they could give him a nice constitutional speedy trial and try him, say, October 2008.
Well, if I say you got to wonder if whoever it is, I don't know what district it's in. Whoever I assume it's U.S. attorneys after him, or whatever state's attorney it is walking in there and going, "Well, you can always give up Rudy. You know, we can talk deal." Because, you know, he is Rudy is his partner.
Yeah.
So you got to wonder, you know, some of the things that he knows that Rudy sure as heck don't want out there that, you know, be very questionable. So, you know, we'll just wait and see. And like I say, only thing I've got looking forward to, I guess, tonight is just sitting to watch Mr. Maher tonight, see who he has.
See who comes and heckles him tonight.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things, it's like, oh, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
What happened to Building 7, Bill?
I know. It's like,
well, it fell down, you know.
You know, it's like, gang, it's an hour-long show. You had to know they were going to grab you and take you out. I mean, this... He wasn't going to stop the show and have a talk with you because he's live at that time.
What amazes me, though, are the people who are willing to goon on him for having those lunkheads thrown out. I mean, that's kind of the rule with, like, protesting at a TV show. I mean, even the people who do legitimate protests, like, you know, Code Pink, you know, they wait for their moment and they stand up and they scream and they get escorted out. But for some reason, because it was Bill Maher,
walk along happily, you know, go, okay, we had my moment, thank you.
Yeah, but because it was Bill Maher, I guess he was supposed to stand there and spar with them. When you heckle a comedian,
you're going to get knocked down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go to YouTube, and I think it's under something like Bill Hicks Melts Down.
Ah.
Somebody heckled him, and he just wore him out.
You know, just were like, congratulations. Now you're going to find out this is what we call the Don Rickles moment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hockey puck.
We'll get you sliced and diced.
But you know what I mean? It's what he says. It'll be interesting to hear what they talk about this weekend when they talk about the fires. It's like, you know, it's like I just want to hear on the weekend shows go, isn't it amazing how when it's rich white people, George Bush jumps on the plane?
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a 25-minute helicopter flyover. And you want to see a great photograph. Yeah, here I go, dancing about architecture. It's our photograph moment on the program. Our buddies over at WD40.com always have a feature there called Caption This. And they've got a picture today of, in the caption this segment, of Dear Leader standing, and Schwarzenegger is behind him. Dear Leader's sort of out of focus in the foreground of the photo, and Schwarzenegger is in focus in the background, and he's looking right over his shoulder with this, you know, with that squinty-eyed scowl he's got, and of course... the boys there have invited people to caption it. My particular favorite was, you know, you have to do the Schwarzenegger voice. And it's, your clothes, give them to me.
I just want, what's the other one? You've been erased.
I mean, do these guys not know that there's cameras on them all the time?
I mean, well, you know, it's like, say, it's after George Allen's macaca moment. It's one of those things where anybody in politics, you have to accept that between camera, cell phones and all these other things, unless you're in a bathroom, and I would defend, except the fact that somebody's watching and listening to you.
Oh, you said bathroom. There's a new Larry Craig story out.
Oh, boy, what's this one? This ought to be good.
This one's, you know, Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Gay in D.C., 1987. There's a...
Back to the original page scandal?
No, this is apparently once upon a time, and I'm certain... I don't know. I don't keep up with... I mean, I just don't know. But there was a gay bar... with a lot of supposedly salacious conduct going on the Hill in Washington, D.C., called La Cajo Follies.
Oh, gosh.
And this is an account by a guy, I guess he's in his 40s, maybe early 50s, named David Phillips. It's featured over at BartCop.com today.
Oh.
He says... I followed Craig up the alley and through the back door of a house, with him repeating several times, "You were never here. You don't know me, right?" And me responding, "Right!" in boyish submission. As we tiptoed to the stairs to the upper floor, as if somebody else was home, he turned to grope my crotch and brush my face with his hand. The house's decor led me to believe that this was a married man. The bric-a-brac with family pictures didn't scream old queen to me. It announced a woman's influence. Still, we made our way upstairs. When we got to what reminded me of a rarely used guest room, he stripped me down, and the man's hands and mouth were all over me.
Oh, gosh.
When we were done... And see, this is the freaking cheap Republicans. When we were done, he took a $20 bill from his wallet, shoved in my front pocket, adding, "Remember, I can buy and sell your ass 10,000 times over. You are never here. Don't try to come back here. You don't know me."
Well, just remember, you know, when And about 20 years ago is when they had the original Page scandal, you know, the one that was really started it all. And just remember, this is when, at the same time when that happened, he was the one out front of all of it yelling, "I'm not gay, I'm not gay, I'm not gay." And you're sitting there going, "Why are you telling us this?"
Well, I love it. I didn't see it.
Facebook doesn't protest too much.
I didn't see it until just now, but, you know, Bart, bless his heart, Bart reached the same conclusion as me. $20? Yeah, he's a Republican, all right. Cheap bastards.
Well, you got to wonder if, you know, with the next year, like I say, with the Republicans having their convention in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, what was the one-liner I saw today? What did Larry Craig say when he heard they were extending the stall, the thingies in the Minneapolis bathroom? "Tear this wall down! Tear down this wall!" Let's see if we can get one more onto the porch.
Okay.
Hey, who've I got?
Hey, it's Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good.
First time caller, so.
Thank you. Well, thank you for making the effort. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just I just wanted to talk bad about a few Republicans while I was on the air.
Pick one and go.
Well,
please don't offend our ears.
Could you answer a question for me then?
I'll try.
Okay. Well, so a few years ago, you know, Mr. Clinton was having an extramarital affair with a Miss Lewinsky, and seemed to me like every single Republican in the whole wide world wanted him impeached for it.
And did impeach him.
Okay. Well, why? Okay. Well, what's changed since then that's made it okay for Rudy Giuliani to do it, put him in the office so bad?
Well, nothing's changed, Jonathan. The fact of the matter is, at the same time that they were impeaching Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House, and he was banging his intern like a cheap Chinese gong.
And the one behind him, Livingston, had so many affairs they couldn't keep count of it.
Well, what's the difference? Is it okay for Republicans to do it, and not okay for Democrats?
Well, you know, if you look around on the internet, you'll see a little acronym that's out there now, and it's just a series of letters, and it's IOKIYAR, IOKIYAR, and that stands for "It's Okay If You're a Republican."
Okay. So I can, like, go murder people if I'm a Republican, right? All I got to do is just vote Republican every time, and it's good then, right?
Yeah, you know, just whip out the registration card. Yeah, oh, okay, move along. You know, you can...
These aren't the droids we want. Please move along. Please.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. You know, that's...
Yeah, I just find it very interesting that they want to murder Bill Clinton for it, and Giuliani was openly doing it, and now he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we have to put him in office.
Well, it's...
Well, I mean, just remember, the thing is, remember, Giuliani told his wife at a press conference. She wasn't there. She had to hear it through the press conference that they were getting divorced. Congratulations.
But, you know, that's your Republican family values for you. You know, of course, there's the great story of, again, Newt Gingrich, who served divorce papers on his wife while she was laying in a hospital bed recovering from cancer. Yeah. Classy bunch, these.
At least Clinton just tried to keep it a secret, you know?
Well, you know...
Some on the side.
Look, you know, any man in America, and I defy any Republican, especially, because God knows they have a lot of these. Any man, Democrat, Republican, as long as we're talking about a guy, the first thing he's going to say when confronted with the evidence of his infidelity is, "I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. That wasn't me." The late, great Louis Grizzard, for all his conservativeness, once wrote, and, you know, he was married about, you know, six times. He said, "Please understand that from the instant that you start your illicit affair, your illicit extramarital affair, please understand that one rule applies. You will get caught." And the first thing you'll say is, "I didn't do nothing." And so, yeah, Bill Clinton behaved. One, it wasn't any of my business. Okay. What that man did on his off time. Two, it was a normal human male response. You know, of course, I always said that when Gary Hart was caught with what's her name on the monkey business, The proper response would have been to hold up a photograph of her because she was pretty good looking and say, you know, yeah, I did it. You would too.
Take pride in it, huh?
Yeah, that didn't play. That didn't play real good with.
What was the one back a while, Bob? The Robin Williams thing, Man of the People, where he's giving like a press conference. And said, did it? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Republican mantra: is hell, don't hide it, be proud of it. You know. Dare somebody to say something bad about it.
Just make sure she's a good looking one.
If you Google Republican perverts, you're going to run across a list, the most incredible list you've ever seen in your life, of, and it's completely true, of this incredible list of Republicans who have been arrested for child molestation, rape, robbery, embezzlement, you name it. It's the most incredible list you've ever seen. Plus, they throw in serial adultery. A few other goodies like that are minor. But most of it's actual crimes. And it's just appalling.
Oh, yeah. It's people like Susan Smith's stepfather. Oh, yeah. By the way, Jonathan, I'm being asked, where are you from? People like to know.
Louisiana.
Oh, great, great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Not
everybody down here is great. Only about 90% of them.
Well,
so,
hey, Jonathan, have they had any stories in the paper with any of the editorials or anybody going, gee, isn't it amazing how George Bush runs out to California when it's rich, flat people?
No, they did try to make a comparison of Katrina with San Diego about
the size and all that. How they got to the
stadium in an orderly fashion, and Katrina was just chaos. And they tried to make a comparison, but to me, it's no comparison, you know.
Well, they had something in one of the papers today I saw, and they were talking about it. And they said, you know, the fires out in California, and they are horrible. But it was talking about about how many people were affected per se. Even though, you know, they evacuated 500,000 people, about how many houses were affected. Then they compared it to the number of houses and stuff that were affected in New Orleans, and it was just like a 20-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was like, you know, the fire, you know, more spectacular images and all that, but still, that actually, if you looked at the numbers of people affected and the number of houses and all this stuff, that there ain't no comparison.
No, not in the least.
The people headed for Qualcomm Stadium were able to drive there. They didn't have to swim.
The best example that I've seen thus far is another blogger. I'd love to have him on the program, but I think he may just work a little too blue. The Rude Pundit. You ever read any of his stuff? RudePundit.blogspot.com. He's got pictures of the scene at Qualcomm as compared to pictures of the scene in New Orleans. And comparing that with the statement about, you know, people were so civilized in this disaster in California. And he said, well, yeah, okay. RudePundit.blogspot.com is a good, it's a great, great comparison and contrast. We're coming up, gang, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and I still have to hit the top of the hour news if I want news at all. So if you don't care, I'll kick you over to hold for a little bit. We'll do 5 minutes of news, and we'll come back with more of the front porch.
Sure.
Game?
Okay.
All right, stand by, y'all. And thanks for calling in this first time, Jonathan. It's great to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you some more.
Yeah, like I said, it's the first time calling. I just, you know, just picked up
spread
your show.
The word.
Started listening and enjoyed it so far.
How'd you find the program?
Found it on Apple, on iTunes.
Oh, cool.
Under the talk radio, so...
Great, great. Well, I tell you what, we're awful glad to have you along, and we'll hit it and cuss and discuss a little bit more here in a few.
Okay.
All right. Stand by, y'all.
Good.
So you're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn, and, you know, I love stories like Jonathan's, just looking around through iTunes, and bang, there we were. That's the way I love to see it happen. So we'll be back after the news. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Progress against the wildfires. At the height of the evacuations, the stadium held 10,000 people who had fled their homes. 100,000 Turkish troops on standby at the country's border with northern Iraq as diplomatic efforts continue in Ankara. Turkish air attacks have been battering Kurdish positions all week long. Meantime, the Turkish prime minister meets with President Bush in Washington, D.C. That'll be on the 5th of next month. No decision will be made about an incursion until after the meeting is held. Iran vows if the country is attacked, the elite Revolutionary Guards would respond with a, quote, even more decisive strike. That's according to an Iranian news agency. Two NATO soldiers were killed, three others wounded last night when they were ambushed while on foot patrol in eastern Afghanistan. On Capitol Hill, the House has adopted a second children's health insurance bill, but once again failed to garner enough votes to make the legislation veto-proof. The bill now goes to the Senate. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Jerusalem today, Olmert promising that Israel will not cause a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. There have been frequent rocket attacks from the region into Israel. Israeli leaders threatened to cut off power to the region because of that reason. The FBI and Homeland Security issuing a bulletin warning that terrorists may still try to use shoe bombs for a terrorist attack. Last month, a pair of hollowed-out shoes were found on a European bus. In Atlanta, Georgia's government announced it'll fight the state's record-breaking drought by building four new reservoirs and expanding existing facilities. Ousted Philippine President Joseph Estrada obtained a presidential pardon, leaving confinement for the first time in 6.5 years. He was convicted last month of taking bribes and kickbacks after a trial lasting 6 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check science and business news. That's just ahead. Now this.
It won't be long before every business and most individuals will have their own website. Whether they are looking for new clients or posting information of use to their colleagues, the website makes printing brochures and price sheets, press releases, and community notices virtually obsolete. With your own website, you can provide the latest information as it becomes available on new products and services, special offers, and company news. You no longer have to stare at errors or out-of-date information that was printed up in bulk. For organizations, you can bring your message to the public, just as you are knitting tighter relations with your supporters and staff. The people who can make all of that possible are at Byte Technology. Find out more. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178. Byte Technology, 656-9178.
Discovery astronauts conducted their first spacewalk today at the International Space Station. Scientists robotically installed a new Italian-made docking port for future space labs. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has recalled a million South Africa-made babysitter seats after numerous reports of infants falling from them. The seats are sold by America's largest stores, including Walmart, Target, Sears, and Toys R Us. The Senate has approved legislation that extends the ban on state internet taxes. The moratorium extended for another 7 years. The next step is a compromise before the legislation heads to the Oval Office. Shares of Comcast dropped nearly 11% after the company posted a 54% plunge in quarterly net profit. Asian oil prices rose above $92 a barrel today after OPEC announced it would not increase output. Adequate supplies for winter remain a concern of traders, as does continued unrest in the Middle East. The U.S. dollar has slipped to a new low in trading against the euro today, euro trading at $1.43, light sweet crude trading at $91.86 a barrel. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 134 points at 13,806, NASDAQ up 53 points at 2804, S&P 500 up 20 points at 1533. There's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Having to go with the live feed actually makes me have to hit a mark. It's good practice, you know. And a reminder for you, this being the last weekend before Halloween, Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Night Sounds with Billy Shears, greatest little music program on the internet, is a special Halloween spooktacular. I stole that from Billy. You'll want to be there, like I said, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us in the chat room. Join us via iTunes Radio. Talk spoken word. Join us at Receiva.com, at Phonostar.com. Join us via the standalone player at WD40.com. Join us via the standalone player on everything but the main page at AfterDowningStreet.org. Who makes it easier than we do? You know what I mean? So we begin our second hour, and we go back to the phones. It is, of course... Oopsie, who did I lose?
I think you lost Jonathan.
Okay, I must have lost Jonathan, yep. Jonathan, I hope you'll join us again soon. Tell your friends and neighbors about the Head On Radio Network. Truth-telling on the internets, and not nearly the... the garbage you get with the mainstream media. Susan, Luke, I stopped to get a snack on the way home from Charleston last night, and there were TVs all over this place. On the one hand, I was enwrapped by the Boston at the end of the Boston College Virginia Tech game.
I tell you, that was a hoot.
It wasn't that fun. But on the TV screen next to it, it was on, I think, MSNBC, and the lead story was, Brittany, more troubles? The second story was, wait, the second story was, Anna Nicole Shocker.
Oh, God, not again.
You know, and I had one of those, boy, go get me the Elvis gun and a peanut butter and banana sandwich, because I'm a-shooting me another TV.
Want you fry the sandwich?
Yeah, gotta fry the sandwich.
I'll help.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like I was sitting here watching a while, thinking about it a while ago. Have you seen how CNN is going over now to doing these hour-long documentaries like MSNBC?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to do news. I mean, I had them on the other night, and they had like three of them in a row. So I'm sitting there going, "There's 3 hours. They've done this other than just a little 5-minute blurb. No news."
You know what? It's kind of like answering machines. When we first got answering machines on our telephones, it was to keep from having to answer the phone. But then you had to figure out ways to keep from dealing with the answering machine, so you screened calls. And we see the same thing in the media because, you know, here you've got CNBC, MSNBC, CNN doing everything in their power to not do news. And on the other hand, you got MTV, music television, that probably hasn't played a music video since... What? Milli Vanilli?
Yeah, probably about then. Probably 5 years, at least.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got an email from our good friend Marty out in California. He wanted to clarify a little bit about the It's Okay If You're a Republican card. And apparently there are standards. And it goes as follows. Marty says, remember, unless you're a multi-hundred millionaire politician or CEO, you must be a frequent high-dollar donor. When you hand over your GOP, it's okay if you're a Republican card, it'll glow green, yellow, or red. If it's green, then the donation level is in the good area, and you go free. Yellow, they either let you go with a warning, with a reminder to pony up more in a larger donation check, or red, then your donation level's too low to be considered. You are the low-hanging fruit that they will flog in public to prove that they have rooted out the corruption of their party. Either that or you get invited to go hunting with Dick Cheney. Dick's going hunting again, by the way. Did you catch that?
I saw that. Yeah.
Well, hey, Bob, remember our little side story on that? Do we need to find out where the Swiss ambassador is?
No kidding. he's going back to... oh, what is it? Dutchess County
Dutchess
again.
Dutchess County.
And I guess this is going to be another one of those things. He'll be staying at a hotel in Poughkeepsie.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the Clover Valley Rod and Gun Club in LaGrangeville. This is going to be one of those where I guess they've got like huge nets of little tiny birds that they release right in front of his face. Yeah, and all you see are these poof, clouds of feathers. Great white hunter, that Dick Cheney.
In other words, Cheney couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, so they have to rig it.
Well, basically,
they've had these for the great white hunters. I mean, you know, why bother going actually having to hunt something? You know what I mean? And something that actually might need to be, you know, something that maybe hurting, you know, going after some varmint or something. You know what I mean? That's hurting the farms. No, we got these nice little pheasant things that we can throw out there, and you can shoot them all that you want to. It's like going to a fish farm.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Or going to a petting zoo and killing all the animals in the petting zoo.
You know, I want Dick to come hunting in West Virginia. I want Dick to come hunting in
Tennessee.
No, in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, Luke, for a very good reason.
Okay.
Headline from the Charleston Gazette today. Search follows report of lion. Bow hunter says he saw big cat in Greenbrier. And he says, when I first saw the lion, I thought it was a deer. Then it growled at me. Deers don't growl. It paced back and forth in front of the blind about 10 yards away. I sat and watched him. I kept a-shining my light into his eyes. The more I put the light on him, the louder he growled. He
does tend to tick him off.
He estimated its weight at 250 to 350 pounds. He said, it had a mane, so I could tell it was a male, and I'm sure it wasn't a bear. Bears are all over Cold Knob. I see 6 to 8 of them every time I go hunting, and I can tell the difference. Bears don't shake me up at all. This lion made me pretty nervous. Dick,
well, that?
Come to Greenbrier County, Mr. Vice President. Be a real hunter. Come and go after the Greenbrier County lion.
In that case, come to Eastern Oregon, Mr. Vice President. The eastern part of the state is lousy with cougars.
Come on down here. We'll go.
Hey, he won't even hunt in the presence of a tame lawyer, I mean, without shooting it. So, you know. But I love that. It had a mane. I don't know no bears with a mane.
I'm sitting there going, this guy says he's hunted bears, and he's sitting there shining a light in the thing's eyes. It's like,
well, see, that's the thing.
With a stick, just for the fun of it.
Well, he's spotlighting. Spotlighting is illegal in this state.
Uh-huh.
And here he is making these admissions on the pages of the single biggest newspaper in the state. Now, the other thing that I have to be careful about, and you know, Susan, you can well imagine, I read this, and I sort of peeked out the window, because I figure this damn lion will gravitate to Agnes in about a day or two. I'll look outside, and he'll be sitting there rolling on his back waiting for his tummy to get rubbed.
Tummy rub, yeah.
Oh,
married to Ellie May, I swear to goodness.
Here is another example of the not too bright a person. A guy in the Portland area got his house burgled, and it was ransacked pretty good. And so he goes on. He tells a television reporter said reporter dutifully reports it on television that he's going to be sitting up all night with a sawed-off shotgun.
And they're illegal there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know many places that sawed-off shotguns are legal.
Yeah, the ATF probably had a nice talk. Yeah, he probably got a nice visit from the ATF, and they tend to be really humorless about things like that.
Well, I love it. They've been baiting the field with raw chickens, trying to get the lion to stay in the area until they can get to it. You know, I ought to just call the DNR and tell them to come and put up a tent in my backyard, and it'll be here in a couple of days. I mean, we've had horses, cows, deer, pigs, raccoons, possums, and they just show up to Agnes. I mean, she's like St. Francis of the little birdies or something to critters. I'll never forget the evening that she looked at Margie, and Margie'd done something wonderful, and she said, "Margie, you're just wonderful. You get a pony." And boom, horse in the yard. And there's Agnes.
My kind of person.
Walks up to the horse, grabs it by the mane, swings herself up, and just sort of trots it around bareback in the yard.
God, she really is like me. You know I'm Wiccan.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to raise show cats. Pedigreed Persian show cats.
Okay.
Black Persian show cats.
Oh, I bet they were beautiful, but what a booger to deal with the hair.
Oh, yeah, but can you imagine? Well, I know what it was like because my stepson got married, and she was profoundly superstitious. So she walked into this house that had about 30 black cats with red eyes and freaked.
Yeah, no kidding.
I just loved it. That's another reason I called tonight, is because our very next prayer meeting is going to be held on...
one of your high holy days.
On one of my high holy days, Sean. And this is going to be fun.
I've got my annual Mark Twain story ready to go.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we will, and, I don't know, we'll...
Speaking of history, did you hear the one that's going around now, this story that good old Mr. Huckabee's running, where he was asked the question about the founding fathers, and he said, well, more than half of them were all religious men.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
the declaration, and they fact-checked on this, and they went, you know what, there was a whole one out of 56 that was an active minister at the time. They said there were three that had been former ministers. They said, gee, isn't it amazing how one is half of 56? Whole new math.
Well, you know, just make it up. It's, you know, it's okay if you're a Republican. Just make it up as you go along, and the media will happily repeat it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check with my daughter how that works out in symbolic logic. She's a math teacher.
Well, you know, speaking of Mike Huckabee, his other recent comment, and I was glad to see him get out in the front of it, I guess the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith or something took a little bit of umbrage at Governor Huckabee's comment that abortion is the same thing as what happened to 6 million Jews in Germany and Eastern Europe during World War II. He referred to the 30 million baby abortion holocaust in America. And you just want to shake these people.
But yet the Anti-Defamation League didn't have a thing to say about the Coulter guys talking about perfect Jews?
You know, I don't know. I've come to the conclusion, I think, that where she's concerned, she is better left ignored, and maybe that's the tactic that they were running with. She has no power to affect public policy, but when you've got a politician out there who says that scraping away a little wad of cells is the same as walking a child into a gas chamber, then that has to be denounced.
Yeah.
But you know, you were talking though about Coltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in during one of Howie's little chats at the Post, and I said, "Gee, Howie, have you got the boys at Time Warner to declare her a persona non grata? You know, I haven't seen CNN come out and say she'll not be invited on any shows anymore." But sort of like, you know, some of these people who always are sitting there wringing their hands, you know, about how bad she is, then turn around the next day and she'll be on the Today Show.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Hypocrisy, yeah. Thy name. Gee, pardon the mangled.
But yeah, but you've seen there. Lately, you know, how, like, say, NBC, especially the morning shows, all of them, have been apparently the new right wing haven. You know, that, was it O'Reilly shows up on the Today Show? I think Hannity shows up over on ABC on the Good Morning America.
Beck.
Beck shows up there too, and it's sort of like, guys, they do have their own channels.
Mm-hmm.
Why are y'all inviting them on?
And is anybody taking? Was it Beck, one who said the real anti-Americans? Unfortunately, their houses are burned.
Yeah, that America haters are getting their houses burned down. And you know that's okay. He gets to say that kind of thing. I mean, it's okay if you're a Republican.
And the thing of it is, most people don't realize that San Diego is probably the one part of California that's mostly Republican.
Yeah,
I doubt if they really appreciated that. Orange County has always been very, very wealthy, very, very Republican, and they ain't going to like that.
Well, I don't. But then again, you know, this guy has negative number ratings on headline news, and again, please understand.
And it gets 2 hours each night.
Yeah, please understand that where all of this, and I've said it before, it's worth saying again. Where commercial terrestrial radio is concerned, it is not about the content of the programming. You, and I don't mean you two in particular, but you plural, the potential audience, you're not an audience. You are a product as such, because you are what the company that puts up the program is delivering, okay? And they're delivering it to the advertisers. My dad, long, long ago, when my dad would buy a new car, he always told, the last thing he did before he went off the lot is he looked at the salesman who'd just gone through all the paperwork and says, get one of your fellers out there to the car and get that sign for your car lot off the back of the automobile. Huh? Go take your little sticker off the back of the car and make sure it doesn't leave a stain. Unless you want to write me a check for a few thousand dollars right now to advertise your car lot, you get that thing off of there. And I think back and I just love him to death for little things like that. Because that's the same thing that obtains with terrestrial commercial radio. You are being delivered to the advertiser. What happens between the commercials does not matter a whit, whether it's country music, rock and roll music, gospel music, or some right-wing hate monger screaming that there's a race of men who live in the trees, like Donald Fagen sings about in The Nightfly. It doesn't matter. And what Scott Ritter said last night, and was so true, is that we've got to stop dealing with the individuals like the Becks and go to the people who front these bastards and tell them we will not have anything to do with anything that they do until they mend their ways. Makes sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's where you got to hit them, is where the money is. You know, I mean, that was the thing. Remember, that was the thing. You know, NBC was going to let Imus keep on broadcasting until the
sponsors
started pulling out.
Hit. Yeah.
Because they were set to give him a free pass on it.
The sponsors would have given him a free pass, except for they started getting inundated.
Well, see, what I think, that folks like, and God knows I love their work, folks like Media Matters ought to do, is every time that they put up a story about some horrifying new piece of garbage spewing from the mouth of a Beck or a Limbaugh, the body of the story itself should contain direct links to the advertisers, because these poor little interns are sitting there listening with their poor ears bleeding to 3 hours a day of Limbaugh and Beck and Savage and Hannity and O'Reilly and Ingram and Melanie Morgan and all these other filth merchants. And the kick is not to write to the syndicator. The syndicator doesn't care. If Glenn Beck went on the air tomorrow and for 3 solid hours read the Canterbury Tales, as long as the numbers came in at acceptable levels, they'd be all right with it.
I'm just wondering sometimes, I don't know where we'd go. You probably would know, Bob. I'm just curious sometimes what his numbers are. You know, I remember when it was, what was it, Alan Keyes had a 0.0.
Well,
and they kept him on the air.
They're not that great. Look at Cincinnati's liberal talk station just switched a while back. The station that was carrying stuff like Air America and Ed Schultz and whatever, they switched to sports talk. Now,
into the toilet.
Since that time, another ratings book has come around. They didn't. It's a technical term. To book. They didn't even book. Okay.
They didn't even register.
There were not enough listeners to even show up in the ratings. I mean, it's a 0.0. It's a, you know, and the statistical margin of error means that is probably, you know, dead people not listening. You know what I mean? So, please understand, this is not, for some groups and some radio outfits, it's about ideology. For others, like your Clear Channels, who have, you know, a big old flamethrower in Cincinnati in the form of WLW, well, maybe they owned the station that was carrying liberal talk too. But if that liberal talk station starts turning a profit, then it's not doing its job, because it is not proving to be a loss leader so that they can balance the massive profits they make on their 50,000 watt flamethrower against losses coming from the other station.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll go ahead, Luke.
Well, I was going to say, and the thing is, most people don't know it. I know you do. That if you look around, except for, you know, there's a few exceptions, that most of the places where, like Air America and all these others are on, they're on those stations. They're on the little stations.
Oh yeah, they're on flickering candle flame stations, you know, almost spanning the block with 25 powerful watts.
I mean, you know, there are a few exceptions. Like, they've got POJ out in Portland, which is a big station. And KTLK in LA. You know, I mean, there are exceptions, but for the by and large, most of the stations they're on, like you say, are like of 20 stations in a big market, they're on number 18.
And they want
to, because the people want them to go down to 19.
Right, because that and frankly that kind of analysis and that kind of mathematics applies. Let's say you own a blowtorch in Philly. All right. If you've got a bunch of fourth-tier talkers losing money hand over fist in Topeka and Amarillo and Fort Collins or some such, you want them to get worse, because they are, the bean counters are telling you that these guys are making your profits from the blowtorch balance out so that you don't pay taxes.
Fail to succeed.
Yeah, it's a racket. It's one of the best. It's one of the best arguments for divestiture of media conglomeration. Simply to have local ownership doing local issues, local affairs, and to make these companies get a little bit more honest about their taxes. I had an email from our good friend Tosh the other day, who was suggesting that, you know, if corporations want First Amendment rights, then and the rights of personhood as described in that dictum in that 1890 some case from the Supreme Court, that if you're going to give them civil rights, they pay as a single person, and you pay taxes like a regular person, and you don't get corporate tax breaks, all or nothing. If you want civil rights, you pay individual personal income taxes. If you don't want the tax burden, then you give up the civil rights.
I still always wonder why one of these legal foundations has never tried challenging that case. Because from what I understand, that essentially, that whole fake issue is because it's written on like the cover sheet.
Well, it's something called
clerk.
No, it's something called dictum. In other words, dictum in a legal case or a Supreme Court case is not binding law. It's just a remark.
That's what I mean, though. I'm just always wondering why one of these legal foundations, you know, that do something like that have never tried taking that one case on. Because if they ever broke that case.
Four words. They don't want to. Because these legal foundations of the type I imagine you're thinking about, Luke, are not funded by you and me sending in our pennies, dimes, and nickels.
That's true.
I was listening.
Tax breaks just like everybody else.
Well, sure, and they could be a 501c3 and not pay taxes at all. On the other hand, I'm driving down to Charleston last night. I'm listening to National People's Radio, and I hear about this West Virginia program. This segment of West Virginia Public Radio is brought to you by Northrop Grumman, partnering with West Virginia, blah, 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 blah. And I almost ran off the road. Northrop Grumman? In other words, West Virginia, you know, let's understand something. West Virginia Public Radio is not listened to by bomber pilots. It is not listened to by the same folks who listen to right-wing hate radio on AM 58, for instance. It's listened to people who consider themselves liberal, progressive, forward-thinking, but you know what? If the devil himself walked up and said, you know what? I got $1 million for you here. Public radio, public television, PBS, NPR would gladly take it. This segment brought to you by Satan. Want to go somewhere warm? Try hell. Satan's waiting. You know, and because that there's an element of prostitution involved with any terrestrial radio.
This is true.
That's why I feel so much better about what we're doing here.
Well, Bob, I'll tell
you
what.
You don't have to be a prostitute or a pimp.
Yeah. You were going to say, Luke?
Well, I was just going to say, Bob, I see it's the bottom of the hour, and let me get off and let somebody else come on.
All right, sounds good. Luke, yeah, you have a great weekend, and let's see, who do you get? Who do the Vols get this Saturday?
Mr. Spurrier's coming to town. Oh, you were talking a while ago about parity. How do you like it right now in the SEC? We're worried about Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
And you have a damn good reason to worry, Luke.
But you know what I mean? Here it was last week. Vanderbilt takes Spurrier, South Carolina, out. And doesn't just beat them, it makes it look bad beating them.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but it may be a rough end of the season for the Vols.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you still don't know which way they're turning, upwards or downwards. We'll just have to wait and see them.
And you don't know which Spurrier you're going to get this weekend either.
That's true. I mean, you don't know if that fires them up or if he's gone into a shell.
Well, the insane guy who starts a quarterback who hasn't thrown a football since, middle school.
It's like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and line up backwards just to throw us off.
Well, hang in there. I'll be sweating bullets over Rutgers. How do you think I feel, sweating bullets over Rutgers?
Well, how were the people up at Virginia Tech taking that game last night? Was the
Every time the camera cuts to Frank Beamer and he's getting his ass handed to him, I just sit there and smile.
Well, the thing that got to me though was on the last play. I thought it was illegal to tackle the lineman.
Yeah.
They saw that one guy come through, and I mean, one guy just drops on him.
But you know, the thing is, I saw the replay. It should have been the final score should have been 14-3. And the game basically should have been over when Boston College finally scored its first touchdown, because the touchdown that Virginia Tech got in the first half was that was a touchdown only in the mind of the officials, because it certainly had it bore no relationship to reality for the rules of the game or even what was shown on the video.
Oh, I understand. All right, Bob, let me go on.
All right,
hey, y'all have a good weekend.
All right, Luke, take care. Have a good weekend, and, go
Girl,
Vols.
You have a good time.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Bye, Bob.
All right, you have a good one, Susan. I'm sure you'll be going to see Donald. Tell him we're thinking about him, and I miss hearing him giggle in the background of your phone calls.
Or yell, as the case may be.
Well, yeah, I've heard yelling, too, a couple of times.
He's good at that.
Yes, he is. You take
okay.
care, Susan.
I'll pass on the word.
All right, thanks.
Say hi to Agnes.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and I'll let y'all know when the lion shows up in our front yard tomorrow morning. Mommy, there's a lion outside. You think I'm kidding. I fully expect it. So, we're about halfway done. You wanna jump in and play front porch? I certainly encourage you to. That's what these Fridays are about. The phone number, of course, 304-658-5453. Or, if you need us to carry the freight, it's 877-443-2366, and you are welcome, several of you, if you want to. Jump in, cuss and discuss and carry on, and find out what it's like to not be 3 minutes and gone, ever so much talk radio that's out there on the commercial airwaves treating the audience as the product. You do realize that, right? I mean, I hope I'm conveying that in the right manner so that you can see the fraud that terrestrial radio is, in large part. Especially these radio stations that are run by conglomerates that are headquartered somewhere, 2,000 miles from the stations that they own. They are delivering you. And you, not you guys. You guys have wised up. But the supposed terrestrial radio audience doesn't even have the gumption that my daddy did when he'd tell the car salesman, "Get that damn sticker off the back of my car unless you want to pay me." You are used. Listeners to terrestrial radio are used. And if you want to get at radio and you want to see change in it, don't bother with the station management. I've told people that back when I was on terrestrial radio, and people would call and say, I listened to that guy that goes in the morning, and boy, I called up the station owner and I gave him a piece of my mind. And I'd patiently explain, and he's laughing all the way to the bank. Because he knows you're going to keep listening. Even if you swear you'll never listen again, he knows you are going to keep listening. The only way you get to these people is through their wallets. Napoleon said an army travels on its stomach. Right-wing terrestrial radio rides on its wallet. And learn to tell the difference between the network availability and the local availability. And if you're listening to some right-wing yammerhead, and you hear an ad during the show for Harry's Shell free car wash with fill up on Fridays, corner of Chestnut and Main, don't complain about the content of the program to the station owner. You go to Harry's Shell and you say, "Hey, Harry, I heard you advertising on this right-wing gas bags program. Did you know your ads are being run on this right-wing gas bags program?" And you tell him, what did you object to? And you say, "Listen, Harry, I bought gas here before. You guys have changed my oil. I like the place. But I tell you what, neither I nor any of my friends or family are going to have anything to do with this place until your ads come off of that stinking radio station. It's nothing personal, but I can't do business with somebody that promotes that kind of hate." And you will see results. Hey, who've I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Gene. How are you?
Hey, Gene, what's up, brother?
Well, I was just wondering, did you happen to hear about the, since we're talking about me, did you happen to hear about the, I think I called in earlier today and talked to Agnes about the weird emergency tone thing?
No.
Oh, this was weird. This morning I got up, I woke up, I ran a little late because I was up until the chickens were hanging out, and I was listening to the local radio here, KBOJ, and the emergency tone wah 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 thing went off 6 times in about 30 minutes. That's weird, Bob.
Wow, yeah.
But what makes it even weirder for me is I first heard that tone. The other day, it was Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I was watching cable, and I get that same tone again over the cable. No kind of crawl across the screen, nothing like that, just that wah wah wah, and it's gone. Last night, the cable froze at about 2:30 in the morning. And, I'm thinking, okay, shameless plug. So the Cartoon Network is all screwed up and what the heck. So I'm flipping through the channels, and most of the channels are all screwed up. Now, that's weird, Bob. That's just plain weird.
Yeah, it is.
I can see a computer glitch screwing with it, with one station's satellite feed, but the whole thing? I mean, the only thing that was running was Disney and C-SPAN and the channels, and that was it.
Strange. Very strange.
Yeah, it was just kind of out there. So I don't mean to sound like a tinfoil nut, but I mean, these last 3 days is like, are they checking out this system to make sure it all works before they go ahead and do this stupid Iran thing or whatever? I don't know. It just makes me crazy.
Well, you know, maybe I'm so medicatably paranoid now, Gene, that I'm willing to consider that everything is part of something else. And I mean, we can. It's obvious to see that we are being whipsawed into war with Iran. I think Scott Ritter was abundantly clear on that point last night. And it all comes together some way, so that, you know, running, because that alert, are you talking about the one that goes?
Yeah. They did it six times.
I jump out of my skin every time that thing comes on, because there are so many things in this world that could go wrong that I expect them to.
You know, but it's just weird, because it's like, okay, if they're testing the system, I would think they'd want to do it at night, not from 10:15 in the or not 10:45 in the morning to 11:15.
Well, the test itself isn't supposed to take more than 60 seconds.
Well, it you know, they would wah wah wah, and then it just stop, and 5 minutes later it'd be wah 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 again. And
I'm betting if there is a reasonable, rational answer to this question, Gene, I bet it has to do, because all these things come over a specific piece of equipment that's a generator of that. It receives that and it generates the thing, and it overrides your entire broadcast effort. And if one of those things goes bad, or if somebody screws up at Central and sends that thing out mistakenly, then you'll get that.
Because I got up, I ran to the chat room for the show that I was listening at, and said, hey, what's going on? Nobody knew anything. Tried to call the local station, because all they said at the show was, the screener guys, well, that's a local station thing, call them. So, of course, they didn't answer, which that's not true.
Right, because we can't employ somebody to sit at a TV station overnight or anything, because, you know, God knows the maintaining public service as a function of a public airwave license, transmission license. That's just crazy talk. Gene, let's see who we've got on the other end of the front porch here. Hey, welcome
it's
to the program.
Me again.
Oh, you're back.
Hey. Yeah.
You heard that, did you?
Okay. What time of day did that Wednesday tone happen?
The Wednesday tone, that was like 2:30 a.m.
The okay, because Wednesday, and do you have satellite or cable?
No, this is Comcast.
Okay, I've got...
It's Comcastic.
And Wednesday, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah. Wednesday morning.
There was... No, this was in the middle of the evening.
Oh,
all
really?
Of a sudden, the for the space of about 30 seconds, a tone came across, really one of those weird tones.
Yeah.
And the picture was screwed up, and then, bam, went back to normal.
Huh. Well, this was Wednesday morning, and I just got the tone. But usually, you see when you get the emergency tone on the screen, you get that scroll on the bottom that says testing the emergency broadcast
right
thingy.
And there was nothing
like that.
Yeah, and for the reason I'm calling in, for the people who don't know us, Gene and I are both in Oregon.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably on something very similar, or if not the same identical cable system.
Well, no, he's on cable. I'm on satellite.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay.
But I'm wondering what in the world's going on.
Well, did you hear? Did you hear?
I haven't had the TV set on at all for the past 2 days.
Did you hear the radio this morning, though, our local AAR?
No.
Okay.
I haven't had that on either.
Because I woke up listening to Mr. Hartman, and, you know, I'm laying there for a bit, and all of a sudden I hear, wah, 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 at about 10:15, at about 10:45, and it went all the way to about 11:15, six times. No voiceover after that, no nothing. It really irked me, because he had somebody calling from San Diego on the fires, and just as he was about to explain, because I guess they kicked them out of the Qualcomm studio or stadium like this morning, and she was talking to him about that, and just as she's about to say that, that tone comes on, and then it for his reply, so it's like I'm kind of like, I mean, I thought that was really tacky.
Yeah.
I mean, it might just be. I mean, it's just. I can see it. You know, how often, Bob, you're in radio. How often do you have to test that system?
Well, because it comes through a generator, you don't have to manually test. Your engineer comes through and makes sure the thing's working. But the thing comes down from a centralized processor that triggers all the local thingamajigs.
Isn't that once a month?
Oh, at least, yeah.
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 And this is, and you just like, because you have the open tone and then you have the closing tone. It's like two things, the little voiceover that says, if this had been an actual emergency, you would have been inserted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, if this had been an actual emergency, you'd all be dead by now. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'd get the clothes, and all I had was six of the tones, nothing in between there. So it might have been a generator thing, but I guess it was just through KPOJ, because they didn't hear about it in New York or anything. So,
well,
go ahead.
Another reason I'm kind of wondering is because Oregon was one of the states that was designated for that great big hoorah of a test that they conducted.
Yeah, wasn't
and
that
I'm
last
kind
of, yeah, that was last
that
week.
Was that's supposedly over, but I'm kind of wondering if it is completely.
I don't know.
Pardon my tinfoil hat.
Who knows, man? It was just. But like I said, there was that, and then last night, like I said, I was watching the cable, and everything froze on not just the Cartoon Network, but the whole bunch of things down the line. I mean, Sci-Fi was out, USA was out. The only thing that was running was Disney. TLC was frozen up.
The mouse did it.
It very well might have been. So I started to be so tipsy, but it just was just one of those weird things.
You know, in the kitchen with the candlestick.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay.
Later, y'all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
About 11 minutes before the hour, I mentioned a little bit ago the heckling of Bill Maher. One wonders if the Building 7 crowd will get into his studio again tonight. But at any rate, And you know, I saw something. Let him speak. Let him speak. You know, it's a live television program. The thing is scheduled down to the last second. It's not Donahue where it's taped and you can and Bill can just go skipping into the audience with his microphone. And how do you feel about it? No, among other things, that makes for really, really bad television. So one wonders who will heckle Maher this evening, or if they will. There was an object lesson for us on how to deal with a heckler, and it was an appearance that Bill Clinton made on his wife's presidential behalf. And see, guys, if you're going to get up and scream something in a public event and you're going to get carried away, make a point. Like, you know, end the war. Eliminate depleted uranium munitions. Stop bombing children. You know, things like that. Don't get up and just prove that you're crazier than a run-over dog and, you know, loonier than a sprayed roach. Which is what happened with this guy who stood up and screamed at Bill Clinton. You want to talk about a guy who knows how to heckle handle a heckler? Heckle a handler? I don't know. A guy who he knows how to heckle back. This is good.
Yeah. A fraud? No, it wasn't a fraud, but I'll be glad to talk to you if you'll shut up and let me talk. Now. A fraud. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you a couple of stories about fraud. The Bohemian Club.
The Bohemian Grove. Oh,
did you
Lordy.
Say the Bohemian Club? That's where all those rich Republicans go up and stand naked against redwood trees, right? I've never been to the Bohemian Club, but you ought to go. It'd be good for you. Get some fresh air.
Masterful. Masterful. I think, if I heard correctly, that the first part of it, something about 9/11 fraud. You know, make it count. You know, you're going to get arrested, and you're going to go, and you're going to pay a hefty fine. Make it count. Make it be something, you know, real. Not, you know, what about Bohemian Grove? No. No. How about clean up the election process? No corporate money in elections. See, that makes sense. Because that is something that every politician in America needs to, must address. One, it matters. Two, it's grounded in reality. It's not something that comes burbling across across the airwaves or the internet that involves, you know, believing insane crap or participating in, you know, a fraud, what the guy started out with. So, you know, is there anybody running on either side of the ticket that would be able to handle a heckler like that? It is kind of inspiring. And, you know, I saw some of it a couple of Saturdays ago when I saw Bill Clinton in Charleston. The man knows how to address a crowd. The Code Pink ladies, bless their hearts, they wore kind of sleazy rice right down to the bone. And apparently got arrested for, you know, assaulting her by showing her their pink hands. Huh? What? Yeah, no kidding. And then there's kind of sleazy rice all by herself. What was it, Wednesday, when she was before the House Foreign Affairs Committee testifying? It'll make Gene and Susan proud, because for all the, you know, I know Susan demands action on impeachment and the war from Congressman Wu out there. But he homed in pretty good on kind of sleazy rice. And it was good to see. Because by drilling down on her like he did, he drove her toward what can only be called utter, complete, total, and abject insanity. What do I mean? Well, what I mean is this. He got her talking by his questioning about the reason for being in Iraq and talking about preemptive war. And this led her to say, and you know, how much coverage did it get? I try to be pretty diligent in following things, but this particular mention, how much legs did it get? How much traction did it get? Because this was some honest to God craziness. He actually got kind of sleazy Rice to admit or state or assert that, and you know, wait for it, to assert that at the end of World War II, the United States should have gone on. See, I have to say this slowly because otherwise I'll just... got her to assert that the United States should have gone on and attacked the Soviet Union at the end of the Second World War.
Monsieur has been lost!
I mean... you heard me right. Condoleezza Rice said that we could have avoided the whole Cold War. Vietnam wouldn't have been as bad if we had just marched on to Moscow and killed the Soviets. This is a woman with a doctorate in Russian studies. No kidding, a doctorate in Russian studies. And she thinks we could have just gone on and marched on Moscow.
God willing, we will prevail in peace and freedom from fear and in true health through the purity and essence of our natural fluids. God bless you all.
Yeah, thanks, General Turgeson. I mean, this really is. This is stuff out of Dr. Strangelove. This is utter insanity. Condoleezza Rice said that we should have invaded the Soviet Union after we defeated Nazi Germany. Now, there was the entire Russian army camped out in Berlin and the better part of the eastern half of Germany, and Condoleezza Rice, doctoral level graduate in Russian studies, thinks we should have just blown right through them, like a knife through hot butter. Ah, they wouldn't have resisted us. You know, they were commies. We would have just licked them. Wow. Just wow. I mean, does that make you... And from that assertion, she goes on to say that provides the reason for why we preemptively attacked Iraq. I mean, just woo. That's not a little bit crazy. That's great big dangerous crazy. That's, oh man, you know, get the straight jacket and the rubber room ready and get the purple crayon between her toes crazy. How much coverage was there? I mean, is this the first time you're hearing of it? I didn't have a chance to do anything about it yesterday because we were kind of tied up with the remote. Can any of you out there, you internet searching, googling, the master, you know, ninja masters, find where anybody else went, oh my God, Condoleezza Rice said we should have invaded the Soviet Union after the Second World War? You know, that's what Patton wanted to do. He wanted to take the Nazis that they had captured, who still hated the Russians, and drive on through and start a war with a country that had said, you know, what's 5 million people to lose? We'll keep fighting. See, this is why I keep going back and saying that these people, they're not evil geniuses. They've branded themselves as evil geniuses. But they're just crazy. Plain old-fashioned garden variety nuts. And it doesn't take that much to figure it out. Invade the Soviet Union? Really, Dr. Rice? Really? I mean, we didn't even get an I'll have to get back to you on that. Straight up, should have invaded the Soviet Union. What in heaven's name is going on here? We'll take a break for a little bit of news, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Front Porch Friday. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll open the front porch up wide open right after the news. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new.
This is the Quality News Network. Southern California wildfires, which have been burning all week, have consumed now nearly a half million acres. So far, 1,800 homes have been destroyed. Majority of those are in San Diego County. Some of the fires still burning out of control. A change in the weather, though, has been helping firefighters. San Diego's Qualcomm Stadium has closed its doors as the fire evacuation center today. Now that firefighters have made progress against the wildfires, at the height of the evacuations, the stadium held 10,000 people who had fled their homes. 100,000 Turkish troops on standby at the country's border with northern Iraq as diplomatic efforts continue in Ankara. Turkish air attacks have been battering Kurdish positions all week long. Meantime, the Turkish prime minister meets with President Bush in Washington, D.C. That'll be on the 5th of next month. No decision will be made about an incursion until after the meeting is held. Iran vows if the country is attacked, the elite Revolutionary Guards would respond with a, quote, even more decisive strike. That's according to an Iranian news agency. Two NATO soldiers were killed, three others wounded last night when they were ambushed while on foot patrol in eastern Afghanistan. On Capitol Hill, the House has adopted a second children's health insurance bill, but once again failed to garner enough votes to make the legislation veto-proof. The bill now goes to the Senate. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Jerusalem today, Olmert promising that Israel will not cause a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. There have been frequent rocket attacks from the region into Israel. Israeli leaders threatened to cut off power to the region because of that reason. The FBI and Homeland Security issuing a bulletin warning that terrorists may still try to use shoe bombs for a terrorist attack. Last month, a pair of hollowed-out shoes were found on a European bus. In Atlanta, Georgia's government announced it'll fight the state's record-breaking drought by building four new reservoirs and expanding existing facilities. Ousted Philippine President Joseph Estrada obtained a presidential pardon, leaving confinement for the first time in 6.5 years. He was convicted last month of taking bribes and kickbacks after a trial lasting 6 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check science and business news. That's just ahead. Now this.
It won't be long before every business and most individuals will have their own website. Whether they are looking for new clients or posting information of use to their colleagues, the website makes printing brochures and price sheets, press releases, and community notices virtually obsolete. With your own website, you can provide the latest information as it becomes available on new products and services, special offers, and company news. You no longer have to stare at errors or out-of-date information that was printed up in bulk. For organizations, you can bring your message to the public, just as you are knitting tighter relations with your supporters and staff. The people who can make all of that possible are at Byte Technology. Find out more. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178. Byte Technology, 656-9178.
Discovery astronauts conducted their first spacewalk today at the International Space Station. Scientists robotically installed a new Italian-made docking port for future space labs. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has recalled 1 million South Africa-made babysitter seats after numerous reports of infants falling from them. The seats are sold by America's largest stores, including Walmart, Target, Sears, and Toys R Us. The Senate has approved legislation that extends the ban on state internet taxes. The moratorium extended for another year as a compromise before the legislation heads to the Oval Office. Shares of Comcast dropped nearly 11% after the company posted a 54% plunge in quarterly net profit. Asian oil prices rose above $92 a barrel today after OPEC announced it would not increase output. Adequate supplies for winter remain a concern of traders, as does continued unrest in the Middle East. The U.S. dollar has slipped to a new low in trading against the euro today, euro trading at $1.43. Light sweet crude trading at $91.86 a barrel. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 134 points at 13,806. NASDAQ up 53 points at 2804. S&P 500 up 20 points at 1533. There's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome. 9 minutes after the hour on this Friday night edition. A program note for you. America's most fabulous LGBT conversation host, Peter Godbold, is feeling much better, thank you very much. His internet, however, is sick. He can't get enough upload speed between the two dented, rusty tin cans and the string that runs between them, brought to you by the fun folks at Embark, to connect to us. So we will be a rerun tonight, Peter will be. And he sends his sincerest apologies and says he really misses you guys. and would far prefer to actually be here. So that. But after that, coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, don't forget the Cup of Joe radio program, your late night Cup of Joe with the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, right here tonight on the Horn. And let's go to Front Porch Friday at this point in time, calling from Middle Tennessee. We have David, and calling from the U.K., we have Andy. Guys, welcome aboard.
Hey, man.
Well, hello there.
Jump right in.
Go ahead, David.
Which one of us?
Andy. Go, Andy.
Me? Okay. Well, I just rang up in response to the Condoleezza thing. She obviously knows nothing about World War II. Because if things had kicked off between the Americans and the Russians, well, here's an example. Best tank the Americans had, maximum armor was 125 millimeters, okay? And it could, and its armor penetration value of its cannon was 144 millimeters. The second best tank the Russians had, which they had in many, many more numbers than the Americans had the best tank, had a maximum armor of 9 millimeters thicker than the armor penetration of the American tank. And its armor penetration was 20 millimeters more than the maximum armor of the American tank. So you guys would have got stuffed.
Yeah, and
completely,
you know,
stuffed. Plus, they had about 10 million men under arms, and we had about, what, 3 million between all of us?
Right. I mean, and that's counting you guys, us.
Yeah, us, the French, and everyone else we could possibly have scrounged our hands on, and the remnants of the German army.
She's an idiot, isn't she?
Yep. But that's just par for the course for this lot, isn't it? Because they're not really running things. The ruling class are. They're just the puppets that keep us all occupied.
But even so, Andy, to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, we should have invaded the Soviet Union. I mean, that's...
Well, she doesn't know that you invaded the Soviet Union and got your asses kicked, same as the British and the French and everyone else in 1920. She probably doesn't know that happened.
Yeah, she was absent that day.
Well, she was absent for the entire course, most likely.
David?
Well, I was going to touch on that, too, because Russia had been beaten down so badly but had rebounded so much better, their standing forces, it would have not been the thing where Patton proved again he was a military genius. And I want to give you a bit of background on what happened on that Wednesday when Condoleezza was on the Hill being grilled, and she seemed to smile through the cooking without ever telling the truth. Where this came from was in the very first confirmation hearing she ever had to go through, Wu, Representative Wu of Oregon, was one of the questioners. And in speaking about diplomacy and speaking about all the things that would let national security advisor, he asked her about this thesis of hers from college. Now, this was a few years ago. And she very happily explained that she and, quote, many others, felt to have turned and then dealt with the Russians at the time would have prevented the Cold War. Never mind that we would have had to have then been viewed by so much of the world as turning on what was technically an ally. We'll just leave that aside. So what Wu did Wednesday, when the hot topic on these hearings that she was in front of was preemptive strikes, he said, in your testimony to this committee and I, you said that, and he read the transcript of her saying, oh, there goes my battery. He read to her testimony from her own transcript saying, we should have taken on the Russians, and then he said flatly, does that carry over? Is that where this desire to attack Iran comes from? And immediately she went into her little dance, and there was 40 straight minutes of lies, deception, smile. There would be that big toothy smile. No, Senator, that's not actually the case. Today isn't Wednesday. It's the day of my choosing, and I'll tell you what it is in writing after I leave the stand. Next question. And it just went on and on and on. And then yesterday, Thursday, again, fully televised on C-SPAN, they were asking her about various topics of her oversight, the management of Iraq and how money was being thrown away. And again, oh,
$600 million and our embassy doesn't work and the, you know, there's no plumbing and there's no fire protection and the whole thing may fall in upon itself after we've only spent $600 million. No, Senator, you're mistaken. Next question. And it was so maddening, I would turn it off and go back to it. Same thing. It's just horrific what that woman does to truth.
Andy?
Well, yeah, I'd agree. I mean, you know, they're just liars, aren't they? Anytime anything inconvenient comes up from their past, oh, no, it didn't happen. What are you talking about? Oh, don't know, couldn't possibly remember, ultimately. You know, they're not liars, they have terrible memories.
Gents, as much as I hate the battery that I forgot to charge today, is taking away my... I got to get out of the swing, and I got to go turn the crank or goose the mouse in the butt so it'll make a little thing go around so the battery will charge. You guys have a great evening.
All right. Thanks, David. Good luck with the old ball coach tomorrow.
I'm almost rooting for Spurrier. I am so tired of Fat Phil. I just want it all. I want that man to go away. And the heat's up. The heat is being turned up. So.
Well, good.
Go ears. So good luck to yours.
Later, David. Bye.
See ya.
Andy, I don't know. I don't know if there's a remedy for insane people in government. I mean, I guess what we're just stuck with this crazy woman until, you know, the January of 2009.
Well, possibly a lot longer than that, depending on whether or not Bush decides he's going to be the dictator.
That's decider. That's decider. We won't use dictator.
I mean,
we'll use decider.
Well, the problem stems from the fact that your elected representative. Are currently being led by a bunch of people who think they're leaders rather than representatives. I mean, look, Pelosi has betrayed everyone, and so has every other Democrat that hasn't tried to stop her. You know, there are some people in there, an independent and a few other Democrats and even a couple of Republicans that say the right things, but they either aren't working hard enough or simply cannot get the support of the other ones to do anything about it. I mean, impeachment is a simple majority. It's not a veto-proof thing. The president isn't allowed to veto impeachment. That would be against the rules. So it's a simple majority, and I'm sure they could get a simple majority if they worked hard enough at it. But they're not willing to, and the reason they're not willing to is because they're all bought and paid for. All the ones that count, anyway.
Yeah, there's... they're not trying hard... No, they're drowned out. You know, look what happened to Pete Stark.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's insane. The guy came back and apologized after telling them, why should I apologize to begin with? So, obviously, someone got to him. You know, maybe he had a visit from the men in the nice suits with the dark glasses that turn up in the blacked-out SUV, and they said, say you're sorry or we'll kill you. Or maybe they just had something embarrassing on him in the past and blackmailed him with it, which is probably likely.
Well, you know, that great comedian, Andy, Bill Hicks... once in one of his bits, he said, I'm convinced that once you're inaugurated as the President of the United States, the CIA takes you into a little room for your first briefing.
Yeah.
And they show you a film of the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is from a completely different camera angle.
Yeah.
And then you look at him and go, where do I sign?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but...
It's probably very, very true. I mean, look, the CIA and all the little ancillary organizations would be the biggest gang in the world if it wasn't for the fact that they work for the biggest gang in the world. And that's not biggest in terms of people. That's biggest in terms of nastiness and power. And that gang's the ruling class. More specifically, the Euro-American ruling class.
Yeah.
And a few, you know, brown and Asian people they might have let in to...
Well, but only the ones with enough money to afford the ticket for the ride.
Oh, hell yeah, and even then, only a couple of those. You know, I mean, that's why China is fighting a war with the United States. I mean, you guys might not know it at the moment, but they are. I mean, look at what they're doing. Product full of lead. Now, do you think that the Chinese really thought they'd be able to get away with putting lead in product for long enough to make it actually worthwhile? Because I don't.
Mm.
I think they thought, if we put lead in product... Americans will stop buying stuff. If Americans stop buying stuff, the American economy goes what? Down the toilet.
Kerflot, yeah.
Yeah, because sustained on is the credit card expenditure of your people. I mean, literally, that's the kind of income outcome, input output of money all the time. People buying shit they don't need. Sorry, excuse my language.
Don't worry.
It's that that can cover up all the gaping huge holes of debt that exist within your economy. As long as you've got people buying stuff, you can say the economy's fine. Who cares that the dollar is now worth toilet paper over here? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What is it? What is it to the pound now?
I'm not sure exactly. It was around 2 to the pound. So it was at like 50p gets you a dollar.
No kidding.
About that recently. It's probably gone even further down now.
So what is that? Yeah, that's like four bucks to the whole pound.
Well, it could be nearly there. $3 to the pound, nearly. I should have thought. And it's going to go lower than that.
Oh yeah, I mean this isn't the end of anything. No. This is.
I mean, well, look, you know, the dollar's collapse has created the euro. The euro was a struggling currency until the dollar started to fall apart, and suddenly everybody wants euros.
God help Iran if they actually announce that they're going to do business in it.
Well, yeah, that, and God help America if they decide they're going to attack Iran, because it. I mean, here's the thing: if Israel get involved in any way, even just letting Americans fly through their territory. Then Israel are going to get battered by short, medium-range missiles. And if America leaves all of that hardware floating around out there, just off Iran's coast, you're going to have a whole bunch of wreck. And, you know, what happens to all the Americans in Iraq?
Oh, I know. Yeah. But this war of words, this constant heating up of the conflict, Andy, is driving me nuts.
Oh, well.
Because today Iran came out and said, if you attack us, we're going to attack you back really hard.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, you go, well, you know, that's the typical saber rattling. Somebody rattles theirs at yours, you rattle yours at them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just really, really, really not conducive to not making a war happen. I want all the crazy people that want war, and frankly, I don't think the American people want war with Iran any more than I think the Iranian people want war with America. But there are insane people in America who do, and I think there's probably a handful of insane people in Iran who do.
Well, yeah, there probably are, but I mean, the vast majority of people in Iran, including the vast majority of the Ayatollahs that actually run the place, don't want war with America, because everybody knows war isn't good for, well, you know, life, business, existence, whatever you want to call it. So most people don't want a war, but the problem is that everybody in the world, including the American people, is on one side, and the American ruling class and their arms industry is on the other side, and that's how the world is, but people don't know it. You know, lots of money is spent on keeping everybody at each other's throats by the arms industry and the ruling class, because it not only lets it also makes them a lot of money. Not that any of it's real, because it's all just numbers on a screen, but they think it's real. They really do think they have billions and billions of dollars each. They think it's all worthwhile, you know, killing millions of people, causing the death over time of billions of people. They don't give a damn about that, as long as they get their zeros on the screen, man. It's what it's all about.
Lord.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? I mean, you can understand it when it's like, oh, I've got a pile of gold that's, you know, 150 feet tall that I can sit on. Like, fair enough, you can see your investment of time and effort in killing people then, understandable. But when you're doing it for little electrical bits on a screen, it's just insane. It goes beyond insane. It's other dimensionally. I mean, because, you know, I've sampled a few things that make you go a bit funny in the brain.
I've been to that buffet.
Yeah, but none of that is anywhere near as the life these people live. Do you know what I mean? I mean, try and put yourself in the mindset of Rockefeller or a Rothschild or any of those people. I mean, I can't. I just can't do it. You know, they're totally nuts. They really do think that people dying is good because they can make money off it. But the money doesn't exist.
Although for them, it probably for some of these people that you're talking about, it probably does, because they probably do. I know I'm speculating here, but I don't think it's outrageous speculation. Have numbered bank accounts in the Cayman Islands or in Switzerland where there is real, live, honest-to-God gold in vaults.
Well, yeah.
That belongs to them.
That the gold that they have in vaults is generally in vaults in banks and places like that, and they somehow think that they're going to be able to get from where they are to where it is when it all goes wrong. Well, they might do, but the guys who are guarding them will probably just cut their throats and take the gold.
It really does kind of, it really does come down to that kind of stuff when you get into hardcore criminal enterprises, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, these people are so nuts, they really just don't understand how the world is. I mean, you know, they think that this constant manipulation of people and constant, like, pushing people against each other is just going to be all right. They can constantly balance it, always make nice big returns, and it'll be fine. But, of course, then you throw into the mix insane people like Bush and Cheney. And, yeah, I agree with, I think it was on Guy James's show or something, I don't know, maybe it was on Tom Hartman's show, somebody said, stop calling him Darth Cheney, because Darth Vader had some good in him.
Mm-hmm.
He should be Emperor Cheney.
Yeah.
Pure evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unmitigated.
But you throw people like that into the mix, and it all goes horribly wrong. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think Putin's nuts. I think Putin is very, very, very cold and calculating. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure he doesn't want a war. He's making too much money, and he's got too much power without one. But if it comes to it, he will do what he has to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he's pushed, he'll fight back, same as the Chinese. Although the Chinese really are at war with you already, to be fair.
Well, it certainly feels like it.
Well, you know, I mean,
Not the Chinese people, not the 13-year-old kid who's chained to a table gluing tennis shoes together.
Well, he's not the Chinese, is he? He's another human being, just like you're not the American. You're another human being, so is everybody else. Even those crazy right-wing fools that align themselves with the American government and think it's all great. Really, they don't understand that they're just as expendable as everyone else. They're not really Americans. You know, it's like the British. The British is the government. It's not me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a human. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, we pay our taxes, and therefore I have some level of blood guilt on my hands for the slaughter of innocents in Iraq.
But what choice do you have in paying your taxes?
Oh, yeah, no, they'll come and haul me away. I mean, all these people who are fond of saying that the income tax isn't real might have missed the arrest of the wacky little couple in, what, New Hampshire?
I don't call them wacky. They're not that.
Well, what they are is imprisoned.
Well, yeah, they are in prison, yeah, and just like a lot of other people. But there's also a lot more people who aren't in prison that the government has just decided to shut up and leave them alone about, including a lot of federal tax agents. A federal tax agent who wanted to win the, whatever it was, $1 million prize. You know, all you got to do is provide the law. And she couldn't provide the law. And just looking for this law got her thrown out of the tax department. And she hasn't paid taxes since.
Well,
and there's lots of people like that. You've got to approach the whole thing in the right way. They were too militant about it.
Well, they went into their little house, and you know, for as genius as they were, Andy, and this was a guy. I guess he was on the Republic Broadcasting Network or something, he bragged about, you know, if they take me out of here, they'll have to take me feet first. I'll go down fighting, and so they holed up in their little compound, and two people knocked on their door and said, you know, we're big fans. We just want to come in and talk to you. You're our heroes. They closed the door. The badges came out. They said, you're under arrest. Go peacefully or go dead. And the guy goes, oh, we're going peacefully.
Well, you know, I mean, I would have approached the whole thing in a very different way. I mean, I would have just, you know, as soon as they said, well, we're going to put, you know, launch a lawsuit against you for non-payment of taxes, I would have just immediately countered with a lawsuit on make me pay my taxes. You know, just I will pay the taxes quite happily when you can prove it. Just prove it. Bring me the law. And as soon as you've done that, you've got a law case pending. Suddenly, their entire, you know, their whole basis for their case is you haven't paid taxes, and you say, well, just show me the law and I'll pay it.
Well, see, the problem was they'd already been tried.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they had made that argument.
This is what they should have done immediately, but instead they decided not to attend court on their trial and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because at their trial, if they had a good lawyer who, you know.
Yeah, because the guy in New Orleans did some, or in Louisiana did some of that, and apparently got away with it.
Yeah, loads of people have got away with it. I mean, millions of Americans are no longer paying their taxes. But the whole income tax is ridiculous anyway, because the income tax doesn't actually really do anything, you know what I mean? It basically just gets handed out in pork contracts to people.
Well, that's the problem. The idea that it was started with, that it would be a progressive in nature, that those who got the most from government would pay the most, is now seen to be some sort of an obscenity.
Well, it never actually happened like that anyway. I mean, that was all just, like, sugarcoating for the people.
No, but we had considerably better, more progressive tax rates in the past. There's no getting around that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, different presidents have kind of enforced it in different ways. You know what I mean? And some presidents who were quite progressive actually thought, well, why shouldn't the rich pay more? Invariably, they ended up either dead or not winning the next election.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. I mean, you've got to face the fact that America's been a fascist society since before World War II.
Well, that was the question that Scott Ritter started off with last night. I didn't catch that part because I was busy being incompetent. but he said he was asked to come and discuss American fascism.
Hmm.
And he said he was initially very uncomfortable with it because he said, you know, look, I'm a registered Republican. I'm a Marine.
Hmm.
I believe that I live in a free country, and the idea of talking about this kind of stuff rises almost to a level of being offensive to me. And he
That's
said,
what they want.
But he said the people who wanted him there in Institute, West Virginia, remonstrated with him, and they said, you know, look, here's our evidence. And he said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the movement toward fascism. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
You know what his problem is, don't you?
What's that?
He's too clever. Because the whole right-wing shtick, and therefore fascist shtick, relies on people just being a bit too not clever, not stupid, just not clever enough to actually think, I can question my beliefs and change them if necessary. Or, you know, it's like the members of the family you can't talk to. That just, you know, they'll vote the wrong way every time, against their interest every time, and they'll call you a traitor if you say anything about it. You know what I mean? Those people. Some people you just can't talk to, but he's not one of those. He's too smart.
He's coming.
Problem for Republicans.
He's coming around. I mean, he's still got very, very definitive opinions. I mean, he doesn't come out and scream death to Israel or anything. And in fact, had an exchange with. One lone guy in the audience who booed him and he said, you know, what's the booing about?
Yeah.
Which part of what I just said are you booing? And the guy hollers back, you're anti-Zionism. And man, he got real serious in a hurry.
He said, don't you dare
call me that because until you've been in the desert and seen your buddies die while you're out running around looking for Scud missiles and so forth to try to protect people, your friends in Israel. No. He said, no, you don't get to call me that. And the guy shut up.
That, first of all, calling anyone who's been in the United States military anti-Israel is probably a bad thing. Anybody who's actually served there, even more so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like Scott Ritter because I've heard him I've heard quite a few interviews and stuff. I actually missed last night, but I've downloaded it, so I'm going to listen to it later. But, he's definitely not a left winger. I mean, he's definitely right of center.
There were no love beads in view, and he wasn't sitting up, you know, had the high and tight haircut, and he wasn't sitting around with a guitar singing Kumbaya.
Well, no, I mean, he's ex-military, and was he a weapons inspector? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was the UNSCOM inspector who before the shock and awe in March of 2003 said, guys, there's no here.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, the problem is that the people who would have listened to him when he was, I don't know, you know, a Marine or whatever, will now say, oh, he's a liberal. And he's not, obviously, but that doesn't matter to them because they won't listen. And this is our problem. You know, we've got a whole portion of the population that are just enablers, 20-30%, whatever you like, you know.
Yeah.
And we have to work around them. We have to get everybody else to realize what these people are. They're shills for the ruling class, and they're working against their own interests and therefore your interests as a person.
Well, you know, our history of working against our own interests is long and storied, I guess, is how you'd put it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hope. I mean, you know, people, the groups like.
And we can't get. Look, I mean, I'm in West Virginia, Andy, and there's a significant portion of what's left of the middle class here, and we can't get them to vote with their damn wallets.
Well, what you have to do is find the emotive issue. Because there's too much intellect on our side, okay? We're too intelligent, and we keep getting facts. And they don't like facts, they like emotions. That's That's what it's all about. That's why the right-wing rulers call, you know, use things like shock and awe and all that sort of nonsense. Because it's emotive. It grabs at the primitive parts of the brain, if you like. You know, got to defend your family. It's always about, you know, what that whole terrorist thing. If they're going to blow up a city, is it okay to use torture on a terrorist? Because, you know, implications, your mum is in that city or whatever. You know, we need to start attacking it and for those people in those sort of senses. And for the majority, we need to sort of use these sort of things. You know, I don't have the answers, not all of the answers. I have a few ideas, but this is what people have got to think about. When you're writing a slogan for your card that you're going to hold up by the side of the road with your T-shirt, keep it simple, obviously, but keep it emotional. You know what I mean? Support our troops, bring them home, that sort of stuff. You know, I don't know. This is the thing people are going to have to think about and come up with their own ideas. But you've got to remember to go for the emotional thing. Anything that grabs you by the heart. And or grab that twist in your stomach sensation of proper emotion. That's what you've got to aim for, to catch people's eye. Once you've caught their eye, then you can give.
Yeah, and of course that's you know, there are entire books written on our ability to engage in bumper sticker politics. Andy, I got to roll on. I got a bunch of lights blinking here. Whether they've got
that's
people
cool,
attached to them or not, I don't know.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they're not all engaged signals. Cool, man.
You have a great weekend, and hey to Hazel.
Yeah, love to the family, man. Take care.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye, mate.
Oops, I had the wrong button there. All right, let's see who is where. Nope, not you. Not you. Not you. Hey, who have I got?
You got Richard, and I don't have anything much to say. I thought maybe we'd have a front porch meeting. Do we?
Yeah, let's see if there's somebody on line six here.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hey, who have I got?
Oh, gosh, it's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Okay, so we got Michelle and Richard on the front porch.
Hey,
Michelle's
Richard.
Hi, Michelle. Are you in California?
Yep.
Where in California are you?
Down by Long Beach.
Okay, I'm just outside of Richmond. You know where that is? Huh?
Which Richmond?
Richmond, California, which is about two or three towns north of Berkeley.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so instead of going towards the valley, the San Joaquin Valley, towards Livermore, you're north of Berkeley in that area, right?
Yeah, so I can see the Golden Gate, my living room.
Can't you take that drive and get close to the prison?
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, San Quentin.
Yeah,
San Quentin's very close.
Just around the corner.
Well, it's on the other side of the bay, just...
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle, Richard, let's see if we can get one more person on the porch here.
Oh, sounds good.
Super, yeah.
Who have I got? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hi, welcome to the front porch.
Oh, good evening. Happy Halloween.
Oh, well, thank you. Jim, you're on with Richard and Michelle.
Which Jim? Because I can't quite hear him.
This is Jim in West Virginia.
Okay. Hello, Jim.
Good evening. How are you? Happy Halloween to you.
Yeah, we can hardly hear him. But I can hear just a whisper.
Yeah, we all, for some reason or another, you know, different phones, different levels, and it's one of the curses of trying to work with this technology. Jim, you said you had a question.
No question. I was just listening. I couldn't quite follow the thread of conversation due to your audio difficulty.
Oh, okay. Richard, well, let's see. You guys were going through the geography discussion.
Yeah, we're just checking out where we are.
Okay.
Well,
and by the way,
I have a question.
Okay.
You guys, who is the young man that you were just talking to?
Oh, Andy, calling from Wales.
Yeah, he brought up the you brought up the heckler, you know, from last night with Scott.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the heckler with Bill Maher on his show?
I've mentioned it briefly, Michelle. I have.
Well, you brought that up, and I just that was one of my issues, and I wanted to know other people's opinion on, you know, should people speak up, you know, and should they be ridiculed for speaking up in venues? So
I don't necessarily think they should be ridiculed, Michelle, but I think they should expect the consequences of what they do. I mean, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, and you can't yell movie in a crowded firehouse. And so, you know, when these people stand up and start screaming, they should expect to be taken out by security.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's not like some miracle was going to transpire in a 60-minute live program that's timed down to the instant, that Bill is suddenly going to put the three guests on his panel on the back burner and say, wait a minute, they're screaming at me from the audience, so therefore, let me just ignore and treat like trash you three people on my panel while I go talk to these screaming people.
Right. Okay. I'm kind of in agreement with that. I guess it was it seemed awfully, gregarious in the action. You know, well, let me go beat you up. You know, just, his reaction seemed awfully.
That's the response. You know, Bill Maher's not a newsman. He's not a journalist. That's the response of a comedian who has honed his chops over 20 or 30 years by dealing with hecklers in the audience. I mean, that's rule one. If you can't deal with a heckler when you're on a bad night, you're in the wrong business.
Okay. What do you think, Richard?
I just started listening a few minutes ago, right before I called, and I've missed the beginning of this. I do like Scott Ritter very much. He's a wonderful speaker. That is, you know, when I've heard him. Does he do the Columbo Act a lot?
How do you mean?
Well, I've got a tape of him making a speech where he comes on like Columbo, you know, like just a Marine. I'm just a dumb Marine.
I didn't get that sense of it. I mean, he did talk about his right wing bona fides.
Yeah, see, this I haven't heard before, but he was the speech that I'm familiar with. He talks about how he went about doing the weapons inspections. And it's a wonderful story. And so he sort of talks about being like the dumb Marine who just kind of bumbles about
until he actually solves the crime.
Yeah.
Now, last night we got something more akin to, since it was very much an anti-war group, you know, the thing was partially sponsored by West Virginia Patriots for Peace and their president. It was more about saying, you know, listen, folks, you know, I'm not here because I'm some sort of a peacenik, you know, and sort of, I don't know, establishing credibility negatively, if you will, by saying, you know, look, I mean, and he admitted to the crowd, he said, look, I voted for George W. Bush the first time through.
Yes.
And they gave him some hell for that. But to let them know that, you know, you don't, how do I say this without offending people that are very near and dear to my heart, that you don't have to be a love bead wearing, kumbaya singing peacenik.
To see that what you're saying is that the ridiculousness of the action it's even more apparent when someone on the same side comes forward and says, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Is that, I mean, it's not offensive to me, and I'm a tree-hugging, you know, crazy nuts and fruit-eating Californian, you know, I guess it's not offensive. I don't think it was offensive in Scott's approach. Scott was more technical and talking about the diplomatic and the military.
Talking tech, you know, he opened the thing. Again, this was during the incompetent part of my appearance. he opened the thing by saying, you know, who here has read the whole United States Constitution? All the you know, an absolute unrepresentatively large segment of the audience, you know, as compared to say the same type of the same number in a group of ordinary Americans raised their hands. And he said, who here would be willing to take a test on it? And he said, keep your hands up. Who here would be willing to take a test on it where 80% is the passing grade? Well, you know, I'm a jerk, so I kept my hand up. But the thing is, so too did a lot of other hands. So he got a pretty good idea off the bat that he was not dealing with people who were clueless.
Right.
Or as clueless as the American people in general. And so that was, you know, that was the starting point that he took, and that's the means by which he elected to address the audience. And, you know, pulling constitutional statements and constitutional facts and constitutional principles together to show that indeed there is an argument that while he doesn't think we are at fascism, that we are fast approaching it. And what he said point blank was that we are not fascist yet, we are an oligarchy, and the progress politically is from oligarchy to outright fascism.
Very interesting.
I'm sorry?
Jim said very interesting.
That's very interesting.
Go ahead, Jim. I'm gonna boost you up because your audio is so low. Let's see. Michelle, don't talk for a minute or you'll blow people's speakers out. Go, Jim.
No, I had just tuned in when you said something about Condoleezza Rice and the debate with the Soviet Union. And I don't mean to jump from what you're talking about now, but that was my original question.
Okay.
Jim, are you on a speakerphone or something? I can't hear you.
No, I'm not at all.
Oh, okay.
What she said was that it was David Wu, a congressman from Oregon, querying her, Jim, on a paper she had written in which she argued that we should have gone ahead and invaded the Soviet Union at the end of the Second World War.
Well, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
beyond interesting. Of course.
Well, you know, that's pretty interesting because... Well, if Hitler had invaded a month earlier, and if he had gone straight from Moscow, he may have done the trick, I don't know. Because in October of 1941, Stalin had already put out peace feelers to Hitler through Beria in an Armenian restaurant in Moscow through the Bulgarian ambassador. But after that, things sort of fell apart and it didn't work. But that would have been something that's really something he said that... we should have gone ahead and invaded Soviet Union. That's just quite incredible, actually.
Incomprehensible, really. Well, and of course there's some backstory to that too, in that you have to assume that part of her war plan for conquering the Soviet Union would have been the newfangled atomic bomb. So you know, drop one on Moscow, drop one on Moscow, and watch them quit.
Who is this?
Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, my God.
Well...
You didn't hear that, Richard?
You know, who's to say that?
No,
that
I can't hear Jim.
Oh, well, no, the thing about Connie.
I can hear you.
No, I didn't. What was this, Clumia?
Yeah, well, it was what we were talking about on the show a little bit earlier, Richard, when Condoleezza Rice testified on Wednesday before the House Foreign Affairs Committee that she had, in fact... authored a paper in which she argued that the United States should have gone ahead and gone to war against the Soviet Union after the collapse of Nazi Germany.
Oh, God.
Did she ever mention how we could have invested and kept that territory or what we would have done with it once we had invaded?
Because you know, Jim, details are...
very decimated after, you know, it was practically nothing.
Where these neocon morons are concerned, Jim, the devil isn't in the details. The devil is the details, and they're not real detail oriented people.
No, but she's supposed to be the one of the prima donnas as far as being an expert on that part of the world.
She holds a PhD in Soviet studies.
How did she get that PhD?
Hard work, I would dare say.
You know, I don't know. When I hear crazy stuff like that, I think she mailed in a matchbook that said "Draw the Pirate."
Wait a minute, guys. Why do you think her teeth aren't nicely fixed like braces and put together? There's the point.
Yeah, the point on her teeth. Yeah, I know. Let's see. I think I've got one more person here. Let's see if we can get them on the line, if they're actually still there. Quitter.
Quitter, God. You're never so lucky with me. Am I too loud now?
No, you're fine.
No, I can make you out just not very nicely. Is Jim still with us?
Yeah, Jim, you still there, Jim? Yeah, he's there.
Well, I
have no disrespect for her credentials, because I'm sure they're genuine, and I'm sure she studied very hard. Sometimes people can be so immersed in things they can not see the wood for the trees, but the actual statement of having to invade that country and then to use atomic weapons and things of that nature, Lord, that would have just been an absolute catastrophe in spite of what happened in that country after the war. But it would not have been the task would have been quite daunting.
Well, it would have been beyond daunting. And, you know, as far as her credentials are concerned, Jim, ordinarily, I have respect for hard work, and maybe she did work hard to earn that degree in Soviet studies. But the point is that, you know, the Soviet Union's gone. The Soviet Union was not, at least at the time, deemed to be the big threat anymore. And yet we put a woman in as Secretary of State. Well, it's like making a Ph.D. scientist in the fabrication of buggy whips the president of Ford Motor Company.
But, you know, Bob, I think the Soviet Union is on its way back.
Well, Vladimir Putin certainly indicates that he'd like to have that kind of power.
Well, I believe he will probably achieve that kind of power. I have an interesting footnote for you.
Okay.
And, Putin's grandfather, and I read this in a book about Montefiore called Stalin, the Court of the Red Tsar. But Putin's grandfather, as a young man, actually carried food to Rasputin, and he also cooked for Stalin.
Cooked?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned.
He was a chef. But as a young boy, apparently, maybe his mother was one of Rasputin's devotees, he carried food to Rasputin's flat, and then, of course, later on after the revolution, he was a cook for Lenin, and he also cooked for Stalin.
I'll be darned.
I just thought I'd throw that one at you. It's on page 193, I believe, of the book, as a footnote.
And the name of the book again is?
Stalin, Court of the Red Tsar by Simone Montefiore.
Okay. Okay, let's see if this person is actually there. Hold on just a sec.
Hello?
Hey, who's there?
This is me.
Me?
Bob?
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Who?
It's Gunny Bob from North Dakota.
Oh, hi, Gunny. Hey, I was just thinking about how you sometimes talk about food when you come off hold.
What?
Whoa.
Hold on. Let's see.
Awesome.
Hold on.
Hello?
Okay. Let's see. Who have I got now?
You got me.
Okay. Bob?
Yep.
Richard?
Yep.
Michelle?
Yep.
Okay. Must have lost Jim.
That was loud.
Oh, wow.
Who, me?
No.
No, me.
Oh.
Well, I hate to bust up the party, but we are very right smack dab on top of the end of the show. Thanks for kicking in on the front porch, guys. I really did enjoy it. Bob, before we go, anything to share?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't bet sometimes, but there are times when a person just has to just stand up and just be counted. And I love those ladies in pink, don't you, Bob?
Oh, I do. I admire their courage tremendously.
They stand up and they get counted, and we see them get beaten up in the halls of Congress and thrown out of where? Bill Maher's, you know, kind of little funky little show? Huh?
Yeah.
This is not a show, Bob. What you've got going here, this front porch and these wonderful people. Goodness gracious, I'd love to spend, hours and hours and days just jawing and jawing, but we ain't got time for jawing and jawing.
Yeah, we're pretty much licked at the moment, and, I got to get out of here right now, so, Michelle, thank you. Richard,
thank you guys.
I enjoyed it. And, Bob, thank you very much. And maybe we'll have a little bit more time next Friday.
Good weekend to all.
Thank you all. Bye now. That's the downside of the front porch, is those confounded dial tones and busy signals. It's a downside of running the whole operation yourself. You know, it's what you get, and I'm getting used to it. An update on keeping the bills paid. We're about $400 out for the month of October. There are 5 days left in it, two of which we won't be broadcasting. And, of course, we are still down $1,000 from September. And that's kind of grim, isn't it? The fact of the matter is, we mentioned it the other night on the program, there are between 25 and 50 people out of several thousands who keep this network on the air. Thank you. Thank you to you dedicated few. You happy few. You band of brothers and sisters. Your dedication to seeing uncensored, uncorporatized, independent media, I guess we're a medium, get out to America and the world is not only heroic, not only generous, but I would argue as much as anything else, it is in fact patriotic. Just got a last-minute email from Joe Vecchio at the Cup of Joe radio show. He says he's been going at it since about 3 a.m., and in a word, he's licked. So he'll be a rerun, too. My sincerest apologies. His as well. We'll all be back on Monday. Until then, stay safe, be well. Many thanks to our IT professional, Peter Godbold, our chief engineer, John Fox, in Sydney, Australia, and the hardest...
is the Quality News Network. A U.S.-led global warming summit will be held late next month in Washington, D.C., seeking agreement on greenhouse gas levels worldwide. President Bush invited European Union members as well as the United Nations and 11 other countries. This weekend, President Bush meets with Afghan President Hamid Karzai at Camp David, expected to discuss the 21 South Korean hostages being held by the Taliban. Mr. Bush signed an anti-terrorism bill into law today. Federal money will be shifted to high-risk states and cities around the U.S. Scrutiny of air and sea cargo will be also expanded. A federal appeals court has ruled that the FBI violated the Constitution when agents raided the congressional offices of U.S. Representative William Jefferson last year and read legislative documents. The court ruled that while the raid itself was constitutional, reading any and all documents was not. The House has passed a bill authorizing up to $250 million in federal funding to reconstruct the interstate bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed earlier this week. The Senate expected to pass a similar measure. The legislation was needed to bypass a $100 million mandated cap on federal emergency spending. Authorities in Minneapolis discovered a fifth body under the twisted wreckage of the collapsed bridge. As many as 8 people reported missing. At least 100 were injured. First Lady Laura Bush visited the disaster scene today, and President Bush visits the site tomorrow. House Republicans left the floor today in protest of Democrats' failure to vote for legislation denying welfare benefits to illegal immigrants. August recess begins tonight, and House members had been trying to pass several pieces of legislation before leaving for several weeks. The House overwhelmingly approved a bill allowing the import of cheaper prescription drugs from Canada.